Welcome to another episode of If Lands Could Kill. I'm Knife City.
So and Crow.
And this is Hot Sauce.
And this is episode something something of If Lands Could Kill. We're a little behind, but we're catching up. And this episode is going to be jam-packed full of magic. I know, to all our listeners, we apologize. But we're going to hurry up through our boring, mundane, lame intros. We're going to get straight to the magic. So, in a nutshell, Hot Sauce, how's your boring life going?
My boring life has been... Did you ever play a board game that was a deck-building game? This is from last week, but I wanted to ask you because you're not here.
Did I ever...
Bring it on.
To bring it up, the game I told you I was going to figure out what it was, it's called Star Realms.
Star Realms, okay.
So if you want to play that kind of game on your phone, you can download that.
I played a game recently where it's kind of like drafting. You have a board game that you're like going into a dungeon and getting to the bottom and collecting like your treasures and then having to escape the dungeon before you die.
Okay, I like
and
this.
And as you do this, you start off with like an opening deck of 10 cards. And every turn you take, you're able to buy more cards or buy things in the dungeon. And you kind of like build it to like, oh, do you want to get more like enabling things or do you want to get like your deck to be stronger? And you kind of just do this whole thing each turn. And it's only like... It's not like Magic where like people interact with you on your turn or something.
Right.
You know, it's just regular board game shit. But anyways, you get your deck and you fucking it ends up being, you know, maybe 25 cards and then you shuffle it a bunch of times, randomly draw stuff, and that's kind of like your hand for your turn.
Okay.
Gives you your points and how many times you can move and all that shit. Curious if you ever heard of something like that or seen something like that?
No. Okay. I mean, not like specifically.
It's something that I'll have to bring over.
There's different aspects of other games like
I was telling him there's DC versions of this, there's Star Realms, there's the other ones on like digital you can do is also actual tabletop games you can play. So this is by no means is the first, but the way he's describing it, I haven't seen one where you actually go through like a dungeon and do things like that. It's usually a deck building game where you have your library. You every turn you like you know you draw five cards and then you're able to like buy from the middle like a poker style,
right?
The middle cards community and how you get enough points based on what cards you have to either attack them as a person or like you can get like bases. They attack the base first before you can attack the person. It's usually one on one trying to kill each other. That game that he's talking about is more of like fighting a dungeon boss and trying to like escape.
Yeah,
you encounter
enemies.
That's unique whatever. From what I've seen played, but I've definitely seen these deck building games and I've almost bought a couple of them wanting to like play with you guys to get into it because there are a lot of them.
Yeah, it's not
fun.
Like we don't have enough fucking games on back order in this.
But it's
garage.
Hard to like, yeah. We have multiple games we still need to play, but we can't get enough away from Magic long enough to play them, even though we know they're fun.
This is a fucking true story, by the way.
There's like four fucking board games in my room, just like sitting there.
Yeah,
and I know that like we don't have necessarily right now time to play them, but every once in a while I'll just go and like read the instruction manual and just like one day we'll play you.
I know what day that should be.
That day's
you
not
watch
today,
the fucking
though.
Twitch stream of them playing the board game. You're like, I just want to learn. I just want to see other people play it.
Actually, I did. There's a new Star Wars card game, and I tried to watch like some introductory videos, and it's very complicated. And I said, fuck you. And I stopped watching it.
If you want to play it, TC Rockets actually has players over there who the same kind of thing where there apparently was a big deal. Like the first running of the set they made didn't print enough of the cards. So they never like took off because shops and people bought them out real quick because they're excited. But they didn't print enough, so nobody could actually get into the game because people like bought them up.
Right.
So like they're
did that for like a Elder Scrolls game or like a Final Fantasy game or is there some other one too? That same
maybe
kind of
the
thing.
World of Warcraft. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the people who are making the Magic card game have a second set being released, and they're also re-releasing the first set on a more mass-produced run, so everybody can get.
Are you talking about
the cards.
Star Wars?
Star Wars, that Star Wars card game. There's a new one that's coming. That's out now. It's been out for a bit.
Gotcha.
So if you want to
Destiny,
look into
Destiny, Star Wars Destiny, right?
It's been a minute.
Let's just say yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
so hey, TC Rockets. If we want to go down there, there's people down there willing to teach us how to play it.
Nice. So yesterday, I get home from my job. I'm working again. And exactly. I'm talking to all the fucking people that made fun of me from before. Fuck you guys. So I'm leaving the street. I'm fucking walking to my house. Not my house. You get what I'm saying. This is a long-winded fucking thing.
You park your car.
Just get
like,
the
no, this is more fun this way.
You lock the car.
No, we're like really pressed on time, so I really like this.
You take five steps, and then you're like, wait, did I lock my car? So you go back and double-check.
Yes.
Okay.
And then
and then you make it to the door, but you're like, I got to go check the mail.
Yes.
And you have like a community mailbox.
Right. And on my way to the mailbox, after doing all these tasks, my fucking neighbor's like, hey, he's on the phone. He's like, okay, I'm going to call you back. And he's like, hey, neighbor number whatever, you know,
Is that what this works out? You're just a number
Yeah,
now?
Where you just call each other numbers. We don't do first name basis.
Back to college graduate camps?
Dude's way easier this way, by the way. He's like, hey.
Hey, 790.
Hey, 790. And I'm like, got it wrong again. Whatever. So he's like, hey, my downstairs bathroom backed up and like totally flooded that just the bathroom. Like the door was closed, I guess. They have like a tight seal. So like it was like.
Oh,
way up. And he said, like, don't open the door, basically. Oh. And I'm like, okay. He's like, yeah. And it also flooded in this apartment, this apartment, this apartment. And I'm like, okay, cool. And I'm looking at where my location is. I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of in the middle of that. I'm like, okay, fuck me again. Flood number three, here I come. So what happened is the fucking main line, which caused the big disaster, whatever, a year and a half ago, whatever it was, that thing fucking backed, like straight up, like on the street, like, you know, 100 feet away from our place. It backed up there, clogged there somehow.
So it was just shit.
And
in
so,
the street?
No, it wasn't. No, it didn't. No, I'm saying it backed up in the ground. Like, it didn't, like.
Okay.
As
okay.
in, it, when it
okay.
actually came and exposed itself, it was inside of our homes.
So, like. Even better.
Yeah.
That's what you're looking
so
for.
So, we fucking, you know, I go inside the house and, like, my downstairs bathroom has, like, it's not bad. It's not bad at all. It's just, like, on the floor. And it filled the bathroom, but it didn't, like, go anywhere else. It didn't go into the kitchen or the room or nothing else. It just, like, stayed. It's like a quarter inch of right. water or whatever. And I was like, but, dude, walk into the house. Like, well, first, okay, backing up the story. When the guy stopped me and said, like, hey, so my place flooded. And I grabbed him and I slapped the shit out of him. Like, don't you bring these demons onto me. I shook him.
Devil, come out.
I shook him like a fucking child that I don't like, you know? I'm like, don't you dare.
Stop crying.
Stop crying. Fucking 860, don't you dare.
I'll make you stop crying.
Anyway, so I go in the house, and then, yeah, so I had it was like two towels to clean it up, no big fucking deal. And, but God, dude, when he said that, I'm like, motherfucker, do not say that I get home and I fucking have to deal with this shit again and call insurance, spend a bunch of fucking money I don't have. And, no, so we're all good there, though. So, anyways.
Yeah, nice little scare.
It was fucking frightening.
It was just
though.
Water, or was it like sewage back up?
No, it's like gray water. So it's like clean water, but it came from a bad pipe. Like the pipe you don't want it to come from. But there was no like poop or, you know.
Okay.
It was completely clear.
I thought you say you walked in and it just smelled so bad and that's
no,
why
it smelled.
And it's really hot right now, so maybe like that much worse.
Absolutely no odor.
And you're like, hey, 780, did you eat beans last night, you son of a bitch?
I can tell. I can tell.
Fucking tampons and all that. Oh my God.
You had Tex-Mex. I can see the corn.
Yeah, exactly. It's corn. Remember corn?
You're going to go see corn soon. What do you remember corn?
I was thinking of... Are we talking about...
No.
Oh, corn.
The E-Fuck.
Oh, yeah, E-Fuck.
I was thinking
I
of
the
him
band.
The other day because I heard that epic music. The dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Dun-dun-dun-dun. You know, like, when someone's, like, in slow motion, running for the finish line. That was the music.
Right.
When he was, like, running over, and that came on, and I was like, Korn, you did it. You made it, buddy.
He got there.
efuck.com/Korn. Anyways.
That's our unofficial, official sponsor.
Yeah, of the cast. Of my life in general. So, okay, last thing.
He's our hero.
Remember that 240SX that I sold off?
Yes.
A little bit ago, whatever? So... I still keep in contact with the guy that bought it because he's just a cool dude. He cool dudes. Got to keep in contact with cool dudes, you know. Okay. And so I freaking
he's gonna invite you to his loft.
He just sends
LA
me.
Or?
Yeah. We're gonna live together. We're moving in out in like next month. So he sends me a picture of the engine bay, and lo and behold, it's a brand new engine. And I'm like, okay, like this is fucking awesome. And then it says Toyota on it, and I know what it is. Like from looking at it, it's a. It's a Toyota Supra engine.
Mm.
So anyone out there, you know, not these two fucking idiots in the room, but it's a Toyota Supra.
Yeah. I know they vroom vroom a lot.
They do. That's a Mazda thing, actually. Thanks a lot. They threw in a 1JZ. So it's
the
singer?
They only threw one of them, though. Could have been 2JZs. So, no, it's 1J. So 1JZ, it's
a
280 horsepower single turbo inline six from the Mark III Supra. Anyways, it's fucking awesome. I'm like kind of blown away. Like, dude, that's amazing. How the fuck did you do that? Like,
so now
it's not even the same fucking company. You know, it's not a Nissan motor. It's a fucking Toyota motor. I'm like, oh my God, what the fuck?
So now he can actually drift.
So he can do a lot of stuff now. Well, it's not done. But I mean,
is he gonna be the next Fast and the Furious movie?
He's in the next. Yeah, he's the third Toretto, whatever his name is.
He's the third.
He's
cousin.
Paul Walker's ghost.
No, because he's Asian. He can't be that guy.
Also, Tokyo Drift Fast and Furious number two.
Yes, it's one of the runway races. You know, it's like on the desert, And like it has like Danger to Manifold. That's it's that guy.
Okay, good. Good, guy.
He was in the movie, yeah. Even though he's like 19 now, he was like, you know, he's probably like 8 in the first one. It's fine.
Good.
He's a good actor.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was crazy though. Yeah. So in that picture, I was like, that's fucking amazing. I sent it to Reich, who's who I bought the car from originally.
Right.
He did not get back to me, so he probably does not care. He's probably like, that's not a baby.
He's still mad.
Is that a gun or a baby? I don't care.
He's still mad he sold off his car. He's hoping to get it back from you one day.
Yeah, right.
That's not a gun or a baby.
Yeah, so he didn't get back to me. But I thought it was really exciting. For any car person out there, to have one of your cars get sold off and then become a better car is fucking awesome.
We did this, like, when we don't invite him on for the Saturday thing, we should set up a picture of a baby, then the invite, and then a gun. Just get him excited and, like, sandwich in the middle there.
Yeah, he has to look at it.
Yeah. That's not a gun or a baby or my wife yelling at me. I don't know.
Is there any pictures of babies holding guns?
We'll make one.
What if I just shove the engine bay like full of guns?
Yeah.
I'll have my son hold my shotgun.
Perfect.
There we go.
That can't go wrong. Hey, Dad, remember when I hit you in the nuts? No more brothers for you.
If you blow off your nuts, you can't hit them anymore.
That's true story. It might be worth it.
If he shoots him off, that's like he's going to ruin his – it's going to ruin his life. Not because his dad's fucking nuts are gone. It's that every time he starts to punch you, you're like, I don't feel anything anymore. And he's going to be like so – he's going to be crying because his favorite pastime is now ruined. What's that? Alan Rickman?
What's that fucking – the Clerks
I'm so
the Angels movie from fucking Jay and Silent Bob.
Angels in the Outfield.
No.
That actually is it.
On it.
Angels 2.
Oh well, whatever.
Dogma.
Thank you.
Dogma. What about it?
I was gonna be Alan Rickman. He's fucking an angel with no junk down there.
Oh really?
Or nothing.
I'm thinking Game of Thrones. The guy looks like Corey. Actually, it looks a lot like fucking Knife City. But if you had no facial hair, you'd look a lot like the fucking eunuch from Game of Thrones. So pretty cool.
That's not a compliment.
I know. I do remember what eunuchs are. That's something when you learn it in school, you're like, I'm never gonna forget that word.
Yeah,
that's a very
that ain't right.
That's a terrifying word.
They carry their balls in a box with them?
Hey, Crow, tell us about your week, dude. Tell us all about it. I want to hear about your sexy child.
Oh, God. First, I have a question.
I hope you edit the last cast pretty heavily, because there's a lot of child stuff in there, and I don't really want... Unless it was funny, then you can keep it. But if it's not funny, I'd probably just get rid of it
go
to jail.
That's like 1 through 50 episode, you know?
That's dog stuff. That's
pre-50 was child, post-50 was dog stuff.
No, that's wrong.
You're absolutely wrong.
Then they're both the same time, then.
Yeah,
they're both the same timeline.
We need parallel new shtick. Timelines. We need new shtick, guys.
Multiverse, dude.
We're in the hundos now.
So, Knife, when did you start going bald?
Like, define bald. Are we talking like...
I mean, like, not like you lost... I mean, okay. When did your hair start receding?
When did you start to turn into Nicolas Cage?
I... You know what? That is an insult. That
the guy's like
the
way...
The crazy guy, no problem.
The guy's like way more money than
gonna
you.
Gonna rip your face off, like in the movie Face Off. But, so I've always had like a... Ever since I was a kid, it was like a little bit more back than usual.
That's,
you know what
I mean?
I
want to see that picture. That's, you have like the old caveman large bump. Not the solid brow.
Right, right,
like,
right.
That dinosaur that has above, the hard head.
There's a Coriosaurus back in the day, and they had a lump on the front of their head, and that they had two brains. And so that's where babies come from. But so anyways, I don't know. Let's say 25.
Really?
Yeah.
So you just lost it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was. I mean, like, you know, it was starting to recede a little bit, and then like I want to say around like 22 or something, I decided maybe like earlier than that, I decided to like shave it and like spike it. So it was like receding, but not like horrible, and there was the back was still good.
Hey, can you imagine this guy with like totally clean shaven, but then have his hair like pretty decently long and parted exactly in the middle?
I think I've seen that picture.
Like
yeah,
Nick,
I haven't seen that picture. No, I can't
like
picture
Nick
at all.
Carter from the Backstreet Boys, apparently.
Oh, yeah, like that.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That was...
That's so
but he had more of a round face.
Yeah.
A clean-shaven round face.
Yep.
And then that was our host. Yeah. But then again, I also had a bowl cut, basically. Like something similar, but like have hair in the... Anyways, yours was like the whole way down. Mine was like kind of like what yours was, but then it had it on the side. Anyways, doesn't really matter. The whole point is that I thought... that was like a normal haircut. I thought like having like the step would be like a, that's like a normal. I was trying to like look like I didn't care. You know, I was just trying to have like a normal kid's haircut. Like yeah, no,
you were trying
style
to you were trying not
like
to get made fun of,
right? Yeah. And I was just like, just give me something fucking normal. And that's what I thought normal was until I was like 11 yeah. or 12, and then I got just like a normal what I have today, basically just like, you know, shorter on the sides and kind of fades to the normal length on top. And I remember the first time I got the haircut, I was like, what the fuck? This whole time I could have been doing this. This is the normal thing. I thought I was doing it right back then. This is fucking way better. And I just looked down in those pictures like, what the fuck was I thinking?
When you guys were little kids, did you have like the bowl cut mullet?
No, I never had a mullet.
I didn't have the mullet, but I definitely had.
When I was like three or four, I had the straight bowl cut.
I had like the mullet. That like, you know, but at that time it's kind of like the bowl cut mullet.
Yeah.
It just
kind of grows and then you're like, well, just...
Peppermint Swirl had spiked hair and a mullet. Remember that?
Oh god,
he had like the full
that
blown, like
fucking horrible.
The fucking gelled up Joe Dirt fucking haircut. It was pretty crazy looking.
I'm talking
it was like senior year,
old.
Dude.
I'm talking
remember
like five.
That?
Yeah, that's
no,
senior
I
re- or junior
I,
year. Or something.
No, I remember because that's why I grew my big old chops out. Was that we had a joke? We were having jokes about like white trash or something. And I was like, "Well, you grow the mullet, and I'll just like grow these chops." And then so he did it for like a week. And I just kept mine for years because
I'm actual white trash.
Yeah, but people were impressed. Like, it's high school. People don't have, like, you know, I don't know about kids these
chops
days.
Chops are a big
they
thing in rock and roll scene, too. So, like, chops are not just a lakeside thing.
Yeah. Well, we were going to a lot of, we were into rockabilly and stuff. Yeah.
He was more like front man of, like, 3 Days Grace chops, though. He wasn't, like, rockabilly chops.
No, it was rockabilly chops.
So he says.
They were high up on the face. They weren't, like...
He was like
you know what?
Godsmack chops.
I'm gonna fucking okay. Godsmack
Sully,
you.
He had Sully chops.
He had Sully chops.
Did he have like a little fucking
see,
like?
This
he had
this
the soul
how,
patch too.
This is how comedy works out, you know. When you start hitting
so you
buttons,
did?
Then he doesn't. Oh,
you had a soul
fun
patch
for that.
You said yes, you did.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Oh god, that's awkward.
Well, with
and the
good.
Chops,
flavor
well,
saver.
I don't get whatever. I'm bald. Whatever. I got a weird dick. Yeah. You know, it's like, but my chops, those were immaculate man chops. Not sissy MTV fucking
downgraded
chops.
By the soul patch though. That's unfortunate.
Well, I had this too, so it was, you know. Anyways,
I bring the question up because I'm about to turn 30 in like 2 weeks here.
Yeah,
and I've always had long, lustrous, thick hair. Like, and so it just grows real fast, real thick. I'm getting my first little bit of sign of like
tiny bit
of thinning in the front.
Right, right. Yeah, that's like the very, very beginning where like
it's not noticeable by any means, but unless you're really looking at it. But it's I'm like I looked in the mirror the other day. I'm like, what the fuck? I've never had anything like this
near the widow's peak. You know, it starts to the front hair starts to just get a little wispy.
Yeah,
you know,
like hot sauce. Like he doesn't want to admit it. But he's got
thin
ass hair.
Well, my hairline hasn't changed, but it is like thinner hair.
Yeah,
right. I had like thicker hair when I was younger, and so like it's not like there's some weird noticeable thing. It's just like the hair is like literally thinner. So you can see my scalp through my hair a little bit.
Only
that's
when,
not,
only
that's
when
probably,
you put like product in it can you really like.
Yeah.
So,
totally agree. That's why I got to do it.
That was
forward.
Like a what the fuck moment. Though. Like I don't give a shit that I have a couple little gray hairs here and I've been getting those for a couple of years.
Bro,
like,
gray hairs
like
are sexy, dude.
I don't give a fuck. I'm
salt and pepper.
I'll be a sexy salt and pepper. I'm ready for it.
Remember the
but
fucking.
I don't want the hair to fall out. And so I was like. That's not much, but that's the first sign of thinning I've ever fucking seen. Like, God damn it. That's
you know
not
what?
Right.
No, remember the old commercial about, like, the salt and pepper thing where it's like, oh, he has the gray, so you know he's mature and can handle his business situations. But you know he has the brown and the black, so you know that he has high energy in
and
the
he's
bedroom.
Still
and
he's still a
party. And he's still a stallion.
I really wish I would have, like, started shaving my head sooner. Just because it's so much fucking easier. That was one thing I hated in high school, is just, like, doing my hair in the morning. Like, fuck that, dude.
So, it was hilarious. My really good buddy's Adam.
We'll be the judge of how funny this is. Go ahead.
Well, it's been funny. I've been making fun of him for 6 years on it, because it was hilarious. So, he always had, like, regular whatever hair. You could tell it was, like, starting to, like, you know, recede this a little bit. But at one point, he started growing his hair long. Like, you know, down to his chin kind of thing, long enough. To a point where one Halloween he went and he's Mexican, like half Mexican, so he went as Jesus, like with the fucking with the thorn hat and like the fucking white robes and shit too. And after that night, he got drunk, and like the next night he got super drunk, so he like the next day he woke up like in a hangover and just shaved it all off and realized, oh fuck, I knew I was starting to lose like recede a little bit, but now it's like halfway to the back of my head. And before it would just kind of like fall, you couldn't really tell. And so as soon as he shaved it off, it's like, oh,
this
that
is
was
my
a
permanent
mistake.
Look.
Yeah. And he had, ever since then, he's had shaved, and he's always like, I wish I hadn't shaved my head.
So because it was just, you can see it too when you shave it, and you like one day after you shave it, you're just like, oh. I can see exactly where my hair grows.
Nope.
So
just gotta let it happen, man.
But you know what's great is that your fucking hair starts growing on your ears, and your fucking ball hair starts getting more coarse.
Nose hair.
All the fucking places you don't want hair to grow, it just fucking goes wild.
I haven't gotten ear hair yet. That's
oh, dude, ear hair is. I remember
I don't
I
have
was
any
so,
on the inside, I have on the outside.
So sad when I started getting noticeable ear hair. I was like, fuck the hair on my head. I was like legitimately depressed.
You're like, go up here.
Yeah. He just starts cutting off and transplanting and glue sticking on top. Like,
what is this coarse hair? Is this like a...
I get like three on each side that are like right here. Same place.
I don't have any of that yet. So
we're getting old, man. Yeah, I don't understand. I thought, like, how do people live till they're 80? I'm like, aren't you old at, like, 55? Why the fuck? So you got to be, like, alive and healthy from, like, you're, like, you know, in good, like, you have the knowledge and the experience of, like, the adulthood, and you have only energy from, like, being, like, maybe 18 to, like, 35. So you get this little fucking period, and the rest of it, you just got to fucking take medication and just be old forever. I'm like, that's fucked up. Why couldn't you be, like, young and healthy from, like, 16 to, like, 50? Or 60 even, and then die at fucking 80 or 90. That's like, that's good 30 years of being old.
And then, like, until you're 18, you're like, you're just awkward and weird, and you're not knowledgeable about life. You know, it's just like, it's, you know, it's fucked up.
Life fucking sucks, really mean dude. To women, and you gotta realize.
Hey, let's do a suicide pack.
Let's just stop here, because now you're getting, like, crabby old man, along with your hair. So let's just take it back.
I need some Metamucil.
Need to be regular. I got some bran muffins in the car.
That's sweet.
So... what else you got? What's going on?
So,
Ant next. We're going to...
I know. It's short.
Oh,
fuck
I'm
you.
Just fucking around, man. We're having a good time here today.
So, I've been kind of missing a solid... I've been like, wanting to play an FPS for a little while there. It's more of a grounded one where I'm not like jumping and flying around. Titanfall was a good little filler for that for me. It was a lot of fun, but it wasn't that older school style like Call of Duty. Because Battlefield 1, I'm still not a huge fan of the Battlefield series. It's a good game, but whatever. At Redbox, I rented Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare 2.
Okay.
Because I played the first one, I had it, and it was actually a fun game.
It's a good game,
it's
right?
It's by no means I've like played fantastic, it, but it seems but it's, good. It's, right. It's definitely fun.
I've always kind of wanted to play it, but I just, like, I'm not going to spend the money on it, but if they had it free for download, download it in a second.
And I would suggest doing that if it ever comes to that point. It's fun. But the second one's actually, they did a good job. It's actually better than the first. They did a really good job with it and, like, added a little bit of single player to it and added this whole other extra world and... of things to do, and so it was a really good time. I played it for like a solid 18 hours and then took it back and everything. Then it was like, I want to like get this game when it goes down to like $10, which is close to, I think it's like 20 right now.
Yeah.
So like, it's worth it. It was actually pretty fun. But still, that's like not quite enough of that itch I wanted to scratch and get for an FPS, you know, need of and wanting.
Right. Frames per second?
No, first person shooter.
Mm. Mm.
Frames per second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, so I've never done any of the backwards compatibility games on the Xbox One for the 360 stuff. So I was sitting there, I looked at a list, I'm like, huh, okay, well, Call of Duty, a bunch of the ones are on there, and one of my favorite ones is World at War, and then like Black Ops is on there and whatnot too. So I was like, no, fuck it, screw it. I have my game still sitting right here, I went to go put them in, downloaded pretty damn quick, and then on top of that, I didn't realize it's actually going to port all my information over from my Xbox 360 profile. Including all my game time I played and all my stats and what levels I'm at for multiplayer stuff.
Nice.
And I was just like,
consoles be smart,
it was
dude.
Fucking sweet though, man. I was just stoked. I was like, I had no idea it was actually gonna port all the info over. I didn't think it would. I don't know why. I never really thought about it, but it ported all my shit over. I was like, fucking, this is awesome. So I jumped back into Call of Duty World at War, which I haven't played. It was out in like 2008, I think. So it's been like fucking 9 years since I played this game. I jumped back in. Already on like level 22, I had to prestiging a few times before that, and it was just a lot of fun to jump back into that. And then Black Ops is on there as well, and
you know that
I don't
fucking
know, I had a good time the last like 3 days playing those like nonstop.
You know, nice. Fucking BioShock came out when he was 19 years old. That's fucking crazy. That's old, son. BioShock is like still like fresh in my memory. Fucking good game. We got to do more crabby stuff. This is like the crab. This is the crab grumpy cast.
Remember when they used to have manuals come with the game?
Remember when there was only one fucking joystick? Remember when there was no joystick?
Remember when there was only two companies?
Yeah.
Nintendo
really
and Sega.
Really only one company.
Really.
The multiple times that we talked about BioShock Infinite,
mm-hmm.
and part of the reason I hadn't gone back and played it because it's on 360, but I had like the full collector's edition and all season pass stuff. I never like finished it. And part of the reason I haven't gone back is I don't really want to play on the 360 anymore. Well, now that I know it actually ports all that info over and you can get all your downloads too, I'm like, well, now I can go finish actually playing BioShock Infinite now. So I'm pretty excited for that.
You know the ending already?
No.
Okay, good.
Nope.
The ending is something that's like mixed review big time, but it's like I liked it. And then especially, obviously, the DLC is like one of the, some of the best fucking games I've ever fucking played. It's not my best, not the best, but I mean, it's like it's in the top somewhere. You know what I mean? Top fucking 300.
In the top somewhere.
Top 300 games I've ever played. I've probably played like 200 games. Yeah.
That's about it. Knife?
And I like to say a bunch and like.
I'm like, well, here's my week. Have you ever think like, you sometimes. Know, you're a relatively smart person. Like, you know, the
by comparison to the masses, okay, yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
You know, like the earth isn't flat and, you know, just general science.
Common knowledge stuff.
You can grasp common sense and, you know, you're not a fucking idiot, but you're not like a genius.
You're street smart.
Yeah. Well.
You know, did you guys know that Jupiter has like 60 moons?
Has a lot of moons.
And that it takes 8.5 minutes from light to travel.
There was Jupiter moon from Sailor Moon series. She was awesome.
Ooh.
Jupiter was hot.
I can orbit my moon any day.
Ooh, baby.
So.
I wanted to touch Uranus.
I was barbecuing the other day.
I forgot about this.
And my girlfriend's sister and her kids came to visit from, what?
I wanted you to keep talking. I wanted to see the actual situation.
Oh, no, no. Okay. So, my girlfriend,
Morty.
My girlfriend's sister and her kids came over from Wisconsin. They're going to stay with us for a week. And then now they're currently, all of them are taking a road trip up to San Francisco, stopping along the way, certain places, having fun time.
Your chick too?
Yep, my chick too. So
you're home alone?
Woohoo! Me and the dogs, baby. So anyways, I was barbecuing for them, and they went out and bought coal, but they bought like the mesquite logs, but they were like blackened like coal. And I was like, I've never used these before. So I'm pretty sure it's just like the same method as regular charcoal.
Oh, don't do
somebody's
it.
An asshole.
Turn what your an idiot. Volume
well, we did.
Down.
It's all you, bud.
Yeah, me too. Stupid idiot. I'm gonna turn my fucking sound off real
okay,
quick.
Okay, well, I'm the only one who turned off the sound, I guess.
Yeah, well.
So
gotta be good at something.
So I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll just, you know, start these up like any other charcoal. And
how do you start charcoal? Tell me your method right
you
now.
You just like kind of move it in a big pyramid group, uh-huh, and then you let the lighter fluid soak in for a minute, and then you fucking light it up, and mm-hmm, then eventually you close the lid, and then you wait a while, and then voila.
Instructions how to be a man.
Yeah.
Knife City Alchemist.
He was so nervous we're going to judge him on his technique. I was getting ready to judge him, too. Like, I'm like ready to laugh at him also.
Not do it? Okay, go ahead.
His face was so concerned.
I thought it was common knowledge, like to.
You would hope it would be.
What if I had a New York
the generation
apartment
now will never know how to fucking barbecue.
What if
these
I had
little fucking snowflake little ninnies are never gonna know how to do anything manly ever.
Can't get a word in.
What if you
fuck up?
Anyways, so I was like, all right, I'll just fucking do this like normal. You know, lit it up, closed it, waited for it to burn. I come back and like only like the very center is like red hot, you know, still burning, and the rest is like not even hot at all. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? So I tried a couple more times, still same thing happening. And I don't know what possessed me to do this, but like in my head, I was like, I have to keep all the heat in there so it'll continue.
So you took your pants off and sat on the fucking barbecue.
Exactly. So I lifted it up and I'm like, man, it's still fucking going. So I just like cracked the barbecue. I squirted some lighter fluid in there, and then I stuck in the long lighter barbecue and lit it like a fucking jackass.
With the lid semi-closed?
Yes. Very, very closed, but just enough. And like, obviously, like you would think would happen, the flames just went whoosh all the way back over my hand, and just like all the hair's gone on my hand. And
so
I was like, this is the worst.
It really is.
This is the worst fucking burn I've ever had in my life. Not that my like skin was falling off or anything, but like my hand was felt like it was on fire for the rest of the night.
You're like fresh baby skin now, though. You look yeah, a little sexy. Just shave the rest of that arm for me, baby.
Yeah. So
you got to double check that circuit one.
On that
circuit one will always get you.
Yeah. So you know, I just soaked it and then put some aloe vera on it, and wrapped it, and I was like, okay, should be good to go. Next day, I was like, it's not so bad. And then a couple days later, you know, I think everything's fine. I go to reach for something, and like I hit my finger on something, like not hard. It's not a sharp surface. It's very dull, you know? And all of a sudden I'm like, ow. and like a big chunk of skin was gone. And I was like, oh, there's a huge blister, and anything that touches it, the skin just withers away off of it. And so now there's this like this big old patch like right on my knuckle of just like fresh red and pink fresh skin.
Only the first like first two layers of
yeah, exactly.
How many layers of skin does a human have?
Seven.
Good. Good. I actually don't know the answer.
So. I didn't. I'm just guessing. I don't know. Three? Two?
Fucking
epidermis?
God, go away. Now my apprentice is calling me. Get the fuck out of here, world. Go away.
So anyways, after that, I was just like, wow, I'm just as dumb as everybody else. So if you ever do something dumb, just realize that everyone else is dumb too, and you're not the only one. But just don't tell anybody about it. Because I was trying to hide
like,
it.
That's like if you come in your own mouth, don't tell the world.
Yeah. Let's... Once again, not dumb, impressive.
Impressive. Is that the word?
I think so. So,
I've seen trainers come in their own mouth. I mean, like, I guess that's impressive.
I don't usually
sometimes
traverse that part of the city, but anyway.
I wasn't in person. I was jacking off to it online.
So I downloaded some free games off the Xbox store, because once you have the gold account, you can, every month they have a couple games you can download for free. And I was watching this stream, because I was just bored, and I was like, well, I'll just watch some random streams. I saw this guy playing a game called Speedrunners, I think the name is.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, yeah, that's one of the free games to download. So I went and downloaded it, and that game is kind of fucking awesome. Super simple game, just very 2D, Super Nintendo-esque type of game. And there's just, you can have the four people play, and you just try and make it to where you leave the other people out of the screen. Like, you get so far ahead of them that they're no longer in the screen. And when they're no longer in the screen, they explode and whatever, and then the last person standing wins. And so there's just little things, like little boosters and little attacks and stuff you can do. And I don't know. I just found it, like, very entertaining for a stupid little game like that that just has very... It's a very narrow, linear... not complicated at all game. I was like, oh, I'll just enjoy this for like a couple minutes and I'll fucking, you know, uninstall it or whatever. I played it for like 5 hours straight and it's just funner than shit. So whether you play online with other people or also I feel like it's a good one of those like party games where, you know, you just got a couple buddies sitting around, you can just play that a couple times and it's pretty fun. So Speedrunners, check it out on Xbox. I'm sure it's on other platforms as well. But I don't give a fuck about that. What I do give a fuck about, and we will just dip our toes into, just a little bit, is E3.
We talked about it last week, but I want to hear what you're thinking.
Because
it was like live.
Right.
Like right there, we were like watching it.
No.
On YouTube live.
Get out of here.
No, we weren't watching it live. I was looking at Kotaku, like, I didn't even watch any E3 this year. First time I've ever watched like E3 live. I remember I told you guys back in the day I'd take days off of work
right.
to watch fucking Microsoft and Sony announcements because I'm a fucking I don't even know whatever you consider me doing that. So so what about E3? What else about how Corey Niece been thinking a lot is a fucking piece of garbage? Let's talk about that.
Why is he a piece of garbage?
What do you mean? Why isn't he? Is really the question here.
Well, that is a good question.
Name a couple things that like he does. How is he a good person anyway? Yeah. How is that?
Was there something new?
He's not even good at magic either.
Is there new information? Because
you know he lied to us. He doesn't have fucking two buys at GP Vegas.
Corey Niece is unfortunately one of our listeners, and I mean, I thought there was.
There's no way to ban listeners, is there? There's no way for like them to click download, and it just like links them to fucking Rick Astley.
Oh, you're
and,
a stalker. No,
if only.
Yeah.
I was not that big of a fan of E3. Like, I thought it was going to be more, I don't know, I thought there was going to be...
More E3EE?
Yeah, I thought there was going to be more 3 and less E, but there's not. I did watch a lot of it throughout the day on Tuesday, I want to say, and I mostly wanted to see the Destiny 2 stuff.
And, like, nothing happened.
Yeah, and nothing. And it's... I hate... trailers that don't have any goddamn gameplay in it. I don't care what you produce, what commercial you made. You know, the commercial doesn't tell fuck all about the game. Besides the lore.
I'll tell you, though, that Destiny 2 commercial, the first one that came out, was pretty funny.
I haven't seen the new commercial.
Remember. Okay.
The original Destiny commercials, like the live action ones, were actually really good commercials. But they,
I agree with you, though, game, like, that we want to see gameplay over anything. But they had a pretty decent ad campaign for their... For Destiny 2, like, 2 months ago, three months ago.
And a lot of the games, you know, they were, like, playing in the background as the developers or whatever spoke about the game. There would be somebody in the background playing the game, and then the gameplay would be going on the big screen. So he would kind of look over and be like, oh, yeah, that's where you fucking, you know, put the stick in your ass or whatever. So I
hold X to put stick in X.
Stick in X.
Yeah, whatever.
That's kind of what you said.
It's all of it. It's all of it.
So I wasn't that impressed.
Get the gist. Do the thing that works. It's like the stack.
However it works out for me. I never really like watched E3, so this is my first time watching it. Wasn't impressed, but it was, you know, it was something to.
Did you only watch the Destiny thing? The Destiny panel?
No, I watched like that whole day basically, and I just didn't. It wasn't my thing.
I haven't sat down and like watched like the whole day of shit, but in general, I feel like this year's release of games and previews of games is pretty exciting. There's a lot of good looking stuff coming out.
I'm looking forward to Battlefield World War whatever 2 5 9,
Battlefront, right? Star Wars Battlefront 2.
No, I'm sorry. The Call of Duty World War 2.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
me too. That's why I was so excited that I got to play the old COD World of War because. That was one of my favorite fucking Call. That is probably my overall favorite Call of Duty game.
Right.
I was a big fan of that one. So I'm very excited about the World War II on it.
I'm so excited for it that I'm like, I might want to get it on PC. Like that's, I don't say that about many games. Because for a real good first person shooter experience, I feel like I need to be on PC.
Like mouse and keyboard, you mean?
Like mouse and keyboard, WADs, and everything. Because the joysticks, I mean, they're just not, like, super accurate. You know, I feel like I enjoy it more. I'm better with the keyboard. And
I am not better, but I also haven't played a single or a first-person shooter besides Counter-Strike on the PC in fucking forever. Right.
And, like, Day of Defeat was, I mean, we talk about it all the time on here. I spent so much time playing that I feel like that's just cemented my... my love for first-person shooters on the PC. So, I mean, I don't even know if my PC can handle, like, up-to-date games anymore.
You have a dedicated graphics card, though, yeah?
Sure.
Cool. Good.
Just get it on the console.
Oh, you know, right? Sure.
He's going to buy it. He can't play it at all.
Yeah, pretty much.
He goes to the load screen and freezes.
anything else? E3, you guys excited about?
We talked about it a little bit last week, and
well, there was stuff that came out after you guys recorded, right?
A little bit,
mostly
yeah,
Sony
much.
Shit though. Like, we don't care that much.
Yeah,
about
they're remaking
Sony.
Shadow of the Colossus, which is kind of cool. Like not a new one, but like they're remaking it in super awesome 4K.
Oh, that's all it is. They're just remaking it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, then it gets
so that's
fuck.
That's. I mean, it's still cool though. But yeah, there's some other games that are like people like that I haven't played, like Beyond Good and Evil. They make a second one of those. I never played the first one. Yeah. I know it's like a cult classic type, you know, whatever, but no, I don't really know much about that game. There's some other shit, though. I mean, Nintendo fucking had some awesome stuff, obviously.
Yeah, the Mario
Odyssey,
game with the...
That's pretty crazy.
So they talked about it being an RPG, and I was like, oh, crap, like, that's amazing. But it's more of a...
There's two different kinds. One's an RPG, one's not.
Okay.
We're talking about Odyssey, right?
Yeah.
You're not talking about Odyssey. You're talking about...
I'm talking about the ones with the little weird rabbit guys.
Yeah, Mario versus rabbits.
It's Mario and rabbits combined.
Yeah, so
that does look interesting, but I've never really been a fan of the rabbits games. But it's a Mario
it's
game
fucking,
combined.
It's like
the trailer for it looks pretty interesting.
It's like XCOM Mario.
It's
basically.
That's right.
Final Fantasy Tactics or something.
I'll be playing that one for sure because I fucking love that kind of a game. I love turn based.
I'm not a big fan of the chessboard style attack, but Mario did make it look fun, so I'll have to like you know check that out.
Yeah, I'm the type of game we're talking about is like if you ever played Fire Emblem, it's gonna be that kind of style of game. Like I love the Fire Emblem series, and so yeah, I forgot. I only watched the trailer like, briefly, and I was really tired, so I forgot about that part. But I'm
excited for that. The only RPG like you know turn based chess sort of thing is that I ever enjoyed was. The Divinity series, Original Sin, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
That was very well put together. It was a very expansive large game. So, anyways,
you've played Fire Emblem though, right?
No, I haven't. Yeah. I've heard about it.
E3. So the reason that series has been going since like for 15 years now,
right?
One thing we talked about is like the price of the new Xbox X,
right?
Xbox One X, which is a dumb name, but whatever.
X1X.
Yeah. So they have price $499, and it really shows that like they're fucking losing money on their console, and people are still going to complain about how the console's too expensive.
Okay.
And it's like a graphics card that you just buy without any PC. You just buy the graphics card off a shelf. It's going to cost you like $350 to get to the power of that. And it's like now you got to add in $150 and somehow come up with a fucking 1 terabyte hard drive, all this fucking, you know, motherboard case, all this shit, all in a compact space, which is, by the way, this is the smallest Xbox ever made.
Okay.
Smaller than the Xbox Slim and all that shit, or the new, you know, Xbox One S or whatever there is. So that's pretty cool. And it has all this fucking power. The thing is, there's no way that they're fucking making any money off the console. And they better make some fucking games for it, or else they're just not going to fucking make money at all. And it kind of said that this is like the last console they're making, basically.
For this generation.
No. Like, it's kind of, I think basically what they're moving on to now is kind of going to be more like PC console hybrid. Like, they're just kind of moving away from it. They're probably like Steam Machine type thing or something like that. Maybe like expandable, really? Like, you know, or something, you know, where you future upgrades or something. But
I'm not surprised at that. I mean, like,
they kind of talked about, they used like loose wording, but they said basically that like this is going to be last console in our eyes. And maybe not next one's not in development maybe yet, but like this is kind of what they're thinking.
I'm not that surprised. Being that Microsoft is the company, it's a computer company who makes Xbox, they've already been making that transition toward that direction of like giving you the whole, you buy it digitally on the Xbox, means you can play on your PC. They're trying to get that point. Even to that point, like Xbox is the one that approached Sony trying to say, hey, let's stop segregating our everybody's players and like let's make a mixed base thing. You can play Xbox against Sony, and PlayStation is the one that backed out of that.
Okay, you know what's funny that you say that? This brings up a point. I totally agree, and it's totally true that fucking, so for some reason Sony's not doing that shit. But even Nintendo is. There's going to be games that you can play PC, Xbox, and Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
All in the same fucking
Nintendo. Nintendo's like
making, how crazy is that shit
to get? Nintendo's always been like the main ones, like the just Nintendo games make that kind of whatever. Now they're like they're big pushing third party parties to make Switch games.
It's fucking crazy that like Nintendo jumped on it first. You'd think, like you said, I've never thought that they would ever do this, but they're like, no, we're down. Certain titles that are kind of like weaker, easier, more casual titles, we're gonna have it available to play with against the Xbox or the PC. And I'm like, what? That's amazing. And then Sony's like,
wait,
nah, dog. We're just gonna have exclusive fucking, you know, we're gonna have awesome exclusives, but we're not gonna allow anyone to have fun with their friends.
So, just to clarify this for me, because I wasn't listening.
never listen.
So
let's say Battle Block Theater. If it was available on the Switch and the PC and the Xbox One, you can versus, you know, you can play against each other.
Right.
With any console.
Not that they're going to be making Mario games for the Xbox.
No.
But games that are games that are already on all the systems are now going to be able to play.
It's got nothing to do with like giving Xbox exclusive rights to anything. It's just more like a game that is widespread and that is on all things. It's on all things. They're going to connect the networks. They're going to touch fibers.
Dude, you never make
docking.
They're going to dock some fibers. So yeah, pretty interesting. E3 fucking sucks. Let's get on to some fucking magic.
Oh boy, do we have some magic to talk about?
Strap on your boots.
Good thing we kept that intro quick.
So I'll tell you, to kick this off, is that, you know, once a year, Wizards is having like an announcement day.
So
last week they announced announcements.
they said that they were only going to have one day of announcements. Correct.
Maybe.
Like per year? Like this,
This
was a while ago.
Remember, they change things every year. But exactly. Yes, last year they said there's going to be one day in June or July or whatever. We're going to announce everything for the next 12 months.
Twice a year. It was every six months they're announcing.
That kind of sounds
that
right,
was
too.
That was the previous announcement for it. I promise you. I did the report on the cast. But now they announced for the 25th anniversary. They've gone through, and it was funny. Everybody's making fun of them because the previous week they came out and announced, "Hey, next week we're announcing announcement week next week."
Well, they were pushing it back for a while. They pushed it back, and then they pushed it back again, and then they, instead of one day, it's going to be a week, and then here's an announcement about the announcements announcing.
My point means that everybody's laughing at them for announcing week. But now, at least they fucking showed up. They have announced a ton of cool shit and a whole kinds of new information. And stuff, some things people won't like and a bunch of their cool shit to be excited about.
Okay, so, where should we start? You know what? Let's start with that day that I got all butthurt.
There you go.
That sounds like a good time. So the ban and restricted list announcement came out. And they said, hey, Aetherworks Marvel, go fuck yourself and your grandma and your band. And
that was the only change.
And that was the only change to any format. And so we've had three separate instances of standard bannings totaling five cards within the past 6 months, however long it's been.
Yeah, since Kaladesh came out.
Did you look up the numbers for the last time the wrestling ban is standard? I didn't look it up. That would be a good number to know.
Just like
but
my, well, they at one time, in one foul swoop, they banned seven cards from standard, but that was just one announcement.
Yeah.
This is like a prolonged... Yeah. This is worse. Even though it's less cards, it's worse because it's a little bit here, oh, and then a little bit here, oh, and then a little bit here.
So when was the last time they banned cards?
I wish I knew. The way he was talking, I thought maybe he looked it up. I wish I'd looked it up myself, but all I know is, in general, until this fucking year of this amount of bans they've done, it was very rare. It wasn't a commonplace thing. It was kind of like... When they banned, like, Smothers Copter was kind of like, holy shit, they actually banned something else in standard?
Yeah.
Like, holy fuck. Like, the last one, I mean, I really know because I wasn't playing at the time, was, you know, Jason Mind Sculptor. Like, that was banned in standard. Like, that was a big deal for that card to be banned in standard. And now it's like, oh, we'll just ban this. We'll ban that. We'll ban this, too. So it's weird that, I don't know, it's not right. It takes down our confidence level. It's just something about it is just not quite right.
The number of bans is too damn high.
Back in my day, we only had one ban.
Jason the Mind Sculptor.
That was, never mind. I was about to say some real bad shit.
Some real racist.
So.
Three-fifths compromise.
Thank you. Just the punchline is enough. The setup would have made it worse.
It's fucking hot.
No more than three can congregate at a time.
It's hot in here. It's hot.
So, it really is. It's really fucking hot in here.
So
listening, foreheads abound.
Sweating.
I don't know, man. Like, this.
Oh no, man.
This is like crazy. So this banning, like for how we play, we don't play competitive, and then when we do play competitive, it's not like tier one deck, so it's not that really big of a deal to us, but I personally can see where this is just like doing so much damage to standard and the confidence of players and the community behind it. It's just I think Marvel should have been banned. I think the Cat should have been banned. Mm-hmm. Maybe Smuggler's Copter.
Smuggler's Copter should have been banned.
Yeah, there wasn't enough answers for it. Now there's answers, which is like, okay, if you're going to print answers in the next set, then let it be.
Yeah.
So like at this point, I don't think they should have been banned because, yes, it was fantastic, but now we have multiple artifact-killing answers that aren't expensive.
And
so,
Fatal Push.
Although I agree with these bannings, it's... I just think they went about it like a horrible, horrible way. First of all, like they totally missed the crazy cat lady combo. That was just a big fuck up. They didn't ban Marvel when they could have, although it wasn't such a
overwhelming... the deck once the cat got banned.
Right. Oh, it wasn't such an overwhelming presence before, but now in the current iteration of standard, it just got out of control, and what I'm disappointed in is the decisions that led us up to this decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how we got here is what bothers me, and now that we have to have standard bannings, but I do completely agree that Aether Marvel Works was just horrible. What?
Nothing. Nothing. You're
Aether
good.
Works Marvel.
No, you're good. You're good.
Aether Marvel Works? Nice. to have a turn four win like 10% of the time to where you just win basically on the spot is just unacceptable.
Well, I think so. Every card that has been banned so far, I think it's besides the fact that it's really good, is that it's not fun to play against. I think that's the reason for all the bannings so far.
Right.
Is that everything's a feel bad. So, like, Aetherworks Marvel is like non interactive. It's just like, did you hit it or did you not? And then Reflector Mage is just like too oppressive and people weren't having fun, just having shit in their hand they couldn't cast, you know. And then fucking Emrakul, same thing. It's just like it was too easy to cast, and so people were having feel bads of people, you know, getting their turn stolen and waking too consistently or whatever. All this shit is because people are like, it just feels bad to play against those decks. I don't think it's because even so much that, like, tournament results depict that it is, you know, 30% or whatever, whatever. I think it's more that people are complaining that, like, we're not having fun playing against these decks. Even, like, so, like, bring it on to Death Shadow. Death Shadow is not, nothing's banned in it, right? Except for Taxian Probe got banned or whatever a little bit ago. But, like, it's because I think that that deck, you don't feel bad playing against it. You know, it's not something that, like, it's not one
it
of those
makes you,
they
it's
have
a, it's a new strategy that you have to learn how to play against.
Yeah, but
it's
not
you're not used to a deck that's trying to kill itself. And so, like, when you have the chance to swing and hit them with your Tassigur to get them down from, like, 7 life to 3, it's like, oh, this is what you normally would do. I have a chance to attack. You do it. Now it's like, wait a second. I have to make sure I look at the math. Like, can I actually attack in with this? And so it's a new style of play to figure out how to play against. But you can, it's still a playable game.
It's still, yeah, it's not. And
nothing about it says you can't play Magic.
It's not. I've played against a little bit in Modern, and, like, it's fine. It's like, yeah, it's good, but it doesn't make me, like, leave a sour taste in my mouth. Not like Boggles.
Yeah.
You know, or even getting, like, Blood Moon feels worse than getting playing against Death Shadow. Like, I'm not worried about this deck. Even if it does pick up big tournament results, I don't think people are really reaching out to Wizards going, like, I hate this deck because it's unfun to play against. I think people are more just, like, going the strategy of there's just too many tournament results with this one deck, basically. That's what it seems like.
And there's, well,
there needs to get slowed down a little bit.
There's clear answers for it. Like, just like sideboard for Burn, it's like that Reflecting Palm just, like, crushes that deck, you know? So there are answers.
So real quick, before we move on, like, you brought up Reflector Mage. I have a question for you guys. Do you think Reflector Mage gets banned at the time it did if Collected Company wasn't in Standard?
No.
Agreed. I think the card's very powerful. It's always very powerful. I think the main reason it was so good and why it's all the play was because of Coco. Being able to hit that for Coco can change the game for
and
you.
Changing it from
a creature to a
sorcery
almost
to
instant speed spell. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. You didn't even give me a chance to answer. You just fucking blew up.
I don't really care about your thoughts.
See, exactly.
And, I'm talking about knife.
I know you always look at him. Why don't you look at me? Let me see your beautiful
we sit next to each other.
Brown eyes or whatever the fuck they are.
We can rub our sweaty foreheads together.
Yeah, let's do it.
So the last Standard ban before all this was June 2011. Jason the Mind Sculptor and Stoneforge Mystic.
See, that's what I thought. I thought those were the last two bannings. It's been a long time.
That's what
time.
I would have said, but I felt like I was wrong saying that.
Yeah, I wasn't 100% sure myself.
So, I think we're all down that, like, it's okay that all these cards are banned as far as, like, making the game better.
Right.
It's just that, yeah, like you said, the way they're doing it, way that they're, yeah, the timing of everything and how, especially, like, the last time when they said no bans and then the day after they're like, oh, my bad, no, ban. Like, that was really, it's just really poor form. And I agree with the confidence thing, but it is making Standard better. So if you really want to look at it in the black and white terms of, like, am I going to have more fun at FNM? Then the answer is yes. If you are looking for more, like, the long-term investment, all the other stuff that really kind of makes Magic the game it is today, then, yeah, there is an issue with what they're doing.
One of the things you talk about, Knife, is you talk about what effects you think this is having on, like, besides the confidence level of players, like, how much you think it's going to see affecting the FNM level and tournament levels.
Mm-hmm.
And something we talked about last cast is the fact of the matter is, right now, like, SCG modern tournaments are selling out. They are full booked. They're like 1,000 players in an event. Standard is not getting that.
Yeah.
Standard is seeing that, which Magic is going to have to go ahead and see and feel that they fucked up Standard this year, and it's been a really bad mistakes they've made, and that's such a bitter taste in a lot of players' mouths that people are like, okay, in a subtle way, trying to kill off Modern by not covering it anymore, but Modern is stronger now because Standard is so bad.
So, here's another thing on top of that.
If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you could ever imagine.
I will come back stronger. I will work harder and defeat you.
So, sets are still selling really, really well. Yep. So, as far as, like, what money they're making in-house, like, all this talk doesn't mean shit to them because it's like, guess what, buddy? Hasbro is still making the bottom line, and we're all cool. Like, Almanket sold a fucking ton of boxes. So we can have these conversations, and we will, because it's a good time. But it is funny that, like, we're not talking with our dollars, you know? Maybe, like, paying SCG and, you know, Channel Fireball for events or whatever, but as far as, like, just buying the new set, which is a standard, the reason they do it's for standard kind of thing, we're still buying the same amount as before, so.
Right. The tournament scene is still...
Yeah, it's supposed to hype up players to buy more.
Yeah, it's still the face of it, and when that starts to go down, And it, you know, the price may follow later.
Listen, Starbucks makes bad coffee, but they're still everywhere. Like, it's just something
well,
that
where else
they
am I
going to
write my shitty screenplay so everyone can see me?
It just is. Yeah, where am I going to go after
I'll get
high
discovered
school?
One of these days.
Where am I going to hang out after high school before the party starts?
So, anyways, moving on from that. Very, just the whole, what has, I got really, like, salty that day.
Beklempt.
I got beklempt that day. Just about the whole, like, going back and forth that Wizards been doing about everything. Like, I feel like the decisions they made when we first started playing Magic weren't as drastic and as finicky.
Oh, my God.
As finicky as it was before. And I feel like now, like, I just feel like I can't trust anything they say.
Yeah, I think it stems with that, too. With Watsy listening to the player base so much is a double-edged sword. Because it's great that they hear our feedback and all that jazz. But
also, people are stupid, and they don't know what the fuck they want.
And then from there, people are just throwing a fucking hissy fit. Like, oh, my God, Smothers Copter, blah, blah, blah. We don't have answers to it. And, like, yeah, that's oppressive. But if you have all these answers coming out in the very next set and more answers to the set after that, maybe you just say, hey, we hear you. Take a chill pill.
Okay, I got a good one. I got a good one. I love this
shit. Are you going to fart in the microphone?
I'm going to fart in the microphone. Okay. So, Mini Coopers, right? The car.
Okay.
So they send out surveys, you know, for every car or whatever else. What's the one thing you change in this car? Guess what it is?
Bigger?
The size?
Yeah. They're like, we want it to be bigger. It's like, yeah, see? People are dumb. People are really, really dumb. It's like, people don't fucking get it. They're like, I bought this car and it's really fun, but like, I just kind of wish it was bigger. It's like, then you just
buy a bigger car.
Just buy a different car. So you've seen that, like, they've come up with all these really bad Mini Coopers, like the Countryman and all this shit that has, like, more space in it while still keeping the same bubbly, cute fucking look. And it's like, this is because people are fucking stupid. That's really what
that
it comes down to.
It's weird, too.
It's such a funny thing to think about, though. It's like, the complaint of what this thing is, it's just like, oh, my God. You could just, I don't even know. It's just so fucking stupid.
That's all my point is, like, I feel like Watsy listens, and that's great. But they also let themselves be a fucking 10-year-old or 15-year-old little nerdy kid in high school getting bullied around by the masses yelling at them. And sometimes, like, if you know the answers are coming, maybe you just say, okay, we hear your complaints. Wait a minute.
Yeah, we got something going here.
It's in the works.
Buckle up, Buttercup.
We typically have a good plan. This year doesn't look very good on that plan because I feel like part of that is them over-listening to the community on some issues.
All this shit get kicked off
like they usually have a fucking game plan, and you know they plan shit out. Like they usually know what they're doing. So this has been a really bad year and awkward.
I think it's just the social media has been such a big thing the past like 5 years. And, of course, it's been around longer, but now it's, like, everybody's on. Everybody's, like, comfortable talking to whoever. And now that, like, I think that more than anything, like, Twitter and Instagram are very important to businesses because you see more, you know, interaction between companies on those platforms more than, like, Facebook or any of the other shit that was
there.
It
becomes more personalized.
And so now they are – there's way more voices talking the past few years. That means that things are going to be changing way more often. Because
and like people, getting hammered instantly. People who are bitching and yelling are always louder than people who are appreciative. So if you always succumb to that pressure, it's just this is what happens.
That's the So and Crow insight of the day.
So
under pressure. So here we go.
Moving on.
We are going to talk about the first article, Metamorphosis 2.0. If you remember, was it 3 years ago? Mark Rosewater made an article entitled Metamorphosis, where he explained some big changes to the game. So this is kind of that plus 2.0. So obviously they changed over to the two blocks per year model.
Right, where it's one big set, one small set, one big set, one small set, no core sets.
Exactly.
It's the same thing over and over again. You're staying on one plane for 6 months and then move on to the next one for six
right.
months.
Right. And personally, and I know at least Stone Crow agrees that they didn't give that enough time to like flesh itself out because
of community pressure.
Well, like I didn't really consider it to be official until like all of Dragons and Origins rotated out. And they eventually and they also made the change to the 18-month rotation cycle instead of the 2 year or whatever, right?
Right. Yep.
And so they kind of went back on that before it even got into its groove.
After like 6 months, before you ever saw any real change from it.
So I feel like that was I mean, sure, they can collect some data from that, but I felt like they had to wait for Origins and everything to rotate out and then just have the two-block model and standard and then get that information, because that's the real information.
Yeah. So I think that a lot of today's conversation is going to go back to that we wish they would just hold their ground, right?
Yeah.
That, and
yeah,
like, instead really of, what I'm getting, they're at really just having, it's letting down confidence because they're going to be changing things too often, not giving the time to flesh things out, like you mentioned. And that's a lot of what's happening with these kind of metamorphosis fucking articles, is basically that. Is like, listen, can't you just wait another year? Can't you just, like, give it more time before you change things?
Yeah.
This game needs to change a lot, because that's what makes it interesting.
It's and if
it
was the same, change.
Yeah, it's a good
that's
business.
That's what's great about it.
Change is a great business model, but then it also interferes with player confidence. So
one of the successful things that Morrow noted was they're getting to visit more planes per year. More story per year, and people are excited about that. Always excited about a new plane, because there's new characters, new planeswalkers, whatever. That's always good. And there's, since they incorporate the two-block model, there's more of the drafting of the large set alone. Because before, in the three, in the three-block
model, where it has the big, small, small, sometimes a big,
three,
big, small.
Big,
set.
Small, big.
Well, okay, it depends. Sometimes it was big, different. Small. Anyways, you would draft the big one only for a limited amount of time, and then the rest of the time you had to incorporate the other sets. Now, with this, you have more time with the big set to just draft it alone and then add in a small set. But then you get to go back to the big and draft it alone and the small.
So we're talking about a change now with this.
So have you read his article?
No, but I know most of the stuff. I know that, like, they're changing it.
So he's saying, this article is really saying, like, hey, this is what worked out, and then this is what didn't. So he's pointing out the successes of what has happened in the past year. Also, quicker storytelling. We don't have to be stuck on a plane for so long and kind of get bored as easy.
Like the Theros block.
Yeah. And, you know, he said the Planeswalker decks were a success. I mean, it's just the intro deck with a Planeswalker. Cool. Of course it's going to be better. You throw a Planeswalker in there. The two-year rotation, instead of, you know, using two sets, instead of using 2 years' worth of sets, you can now use
Now we're on a, challenges over the successes.
Oh, yeah. These are the challenges. I'm sorry.
He doesn't want to say failures, but the challenges and the issues.
Yeah, these are the failures. Basically, they went back on their 18-month plan, and they didn't want to do it. So now rotation is just once a year, every 2 years. Correct?
Yes, yes. And again, the reason they went back, you talk about this article, is basically they're from bitching of players.
Yep.
A lot of that stemmed from being upset that their cards were no longer they're buying into, didn't hold value for 2 years. Now they only could play at them for 18 months, and like that's a legitimate complaint, but.
Also, then we have Gideon for 24
yes.
months.
But that's a legitimate complaint, but the player base was so short-sighted that
yes.
they did not see what they were doing, and now what that is doing is, like you said,
yep.
we have Gideon for 2 fucking years just dominating the fucking format. I found this particular part of it very interesting about the small sets. They always talked about, previously, how the third set in a block always had, like, a problem. You know, uh-huh. they could never really successfully make a third set in a block. And there was numerous challenges to it, whether it was connecting the mechanics of it to the rest of the sets, or whether it was making it a good part of the draft environment or whatever. They always had a problem. So when they switched to the two block a mm-hmm. year, so two sets to a block, they found out that they're also having the quote-unquote third set problem with the small set. So it's not that it's a third set problem, it's just...
It's mostly always, like, he goes on to talk about, it's mostly always the actual second set becomes a problem, and the third set becomes trying to fix the problem the second set created.
Well, it's the last set in the block, that's
yeah.
the problem.
Yeah.
Whether it's 2, 5,
that's where
10.
It went from 3 down to 2, is because they were trying to, they found that they're always trying to fix the problems that occurred in set 2. And they realize now, like, well, okay, well, maybe the second set isn't fucking viable to change all this shit up. Like, I mean, what I like about this also, they talk about how, like, one of the main things I was complaining about was the ingest from Battle for Zendikar completely went away, and they didn't. There was some good things you could do there, but then when it completely goes away, there's not enough support going forward anymore. And they even talked about that was an issue, that they are going away from you're creating these mechanics in the first set, like not even touching them in the second set anymore,
right?
And things like that.
So, and I mean, just to literally quote the article, it says, "Finally, we discovered that some of the third set complaints turned out to be last set of the block complaints." Mm-hmm. So it wasn't necessarily that it was the third block in particular; it was just the last of any set. They also took out the core set, which took a lot of... There were some changes for it. There was some definite changes. They're able to reprint. I don't know what's going on here. They had the reprint opportunities in the core set to just put in cards that we need, like Duress, Negate, Doomblade, just simple answers to cards. And I remember when they took away the core set, everyone was worried about, well, how they have to fit so many more planeswalkers into these other sets now, because the five planeswalkers that come in the core sets now need to be dispersed into these other sets. So that was a problem. It was just weird, and it turns out the core set is kind of needed a little bit. And obviously,
essentially with lore and like even names of reprints, like when it's a reprint, it has to stay, the name has to stay the same. Meaning, like the lore, the creature type, and sometimes those don't fit into the worlds.
Right.
So it's like not easy to reprint cards, which is something they still want to do. And so like that's why they've been giving us more powerful reprints and other sets and secondary sets and shit like that. And so like now bringing this core set back in a different style of core set, they're reopening that option to have the reprints and the shit they want to do in the core sets.
And obviously these last two, we saw these coming from a mile away. Too much focus on the Gatewatch. They talk about how you're not going to see much of them, which I think they should just like abandon the Gatewatch altogether. Yeah. Like never mention the phrase Gatewatch again for another 10 years.
I agree.
But basically,
I don't think you need to get rid of the planeswalkers. I think you need to disperse by how often they show up, which is what they talk about they're going to do.
Well, I don't even
I hate like the lore of the Gatewatch in general. I don't like it by any means, but at the same time, I don't want Liliana to go away. I love Liliana. Well, I want to see her every 2 years.
I'm not sick of these planeswalkers. I'm sick of the Gatewatch.
Yes, agreed.
So I don't mind if Nissa comes in every other set. Mm-hmm. I don't mind if these other planeswalkers, because we have to follow pretty much somebody we know, mm-hmm. you know, to a new plane. But just the Gatewatch, just disperse them and just have them go off and do their own thing for a while. But apparently, the Gatewatch is still the Gatewatch, but we're not going to see a bunch of them together all the time. It's going to be just two of them.
They're still the main protagonists, and then everyone that's on the good side is like helping them for that plane, and otherwise they're all going to be just the enemies of that plane is basically what it's going to be. But otherwise, the heroes of the overarching story is still the Gatewatch, and it's going to be for a while.
I actually disagree with something you just said. That you said that we have to have a planeswalker we know to follow to the next plane. That doesn't need to be true. Yes, there's a storyline. There is a storyline that they're currently following, that they're doing all that, where they're following somewhere else. But like from Dominaria on New Phyrexia, like they didn't follow particular people. They weren't. This is the world we're on. This is the events that occur now. Without having us have some like even the same timeline, we know that there's been leaps and bounds in the years between planes and what's happening and things like that. We don't have to stay in the same timeline. We don't have to follow somebody.
Well,
I understand that they're going to do that because that's what they're doing right now, but we don't have to have a Gatewatch planeswalker to follow a new plane.
I mean, well, that's give or take. They want to have at least one member of the Gatewatch in the story at all times. So the Masterpiece series, guess what? Diminishing Returns. That's about it. When you fucking abuse something that's special, it's not so fucking special anymore. Guess what?
So are we getting on to what the changes are, or are we just talking about the bad things?
I'm trying to, if you stop fucking interrupting me. You do heroin once a month, and it's cool. You do it every day, and now all of a sudden you got a drug problem, and, you know, you're stealing money from your mom. So now we're moving on to the 3-in-1 model. So basically, no more small sets. Hey, small set, come here. You're fucking fired. Get out of here, queer. And we're going to have only big sets.
So 250 cards to 300 cards, somewhere in that. 250 to 270, something like that.
And they're not necessarily going to be different planes every single time. So it might be, like, for instance, Ravnica. Ravnica was a good example of how one plane could support many, many storylines, different storylines. So we might have one big set in Theros, and then the next set might be set in Theros 2, but it's only going to be, like, loosely connected story-wise. Or we might just have, you know, hopefully, this is what I hope, is that every fucking set is going to be standalone story-wise, and they're not going to be, like, slightly interspersed.
Okay, they mentioned already. That's what they said. They could be completely individual. They may not have anything to do with each other. It's just if a particular world has enough gusto, enough lore to it,
right.
They may revisit it. And it doesn't mean... And they say, like, typically if they go back to that same world, the next set... Barely any of the mechanics will be the same. Maybe one, maybe none of the mechanics will be the same.
Right.
So you may still be in the same world, but everything about the set will still be new and individualistic.
Exactly. So it's not going to be like the thing where it's just going to be a different experience for the same fucking plane.
Black and white of it is that instead of doing the big set, small set, now they're doing all big sets, right? Like I said, we do all mm-hmm. more than 250 cards. And also, they're going to be doing where some of them are going to be totally standalone, and some of them, if they want to expand on it, then they'll have two sets, 6 months, basically, of that same plane. But like you said, they're not going to have this big carryover thing. It's going to be... It's just when they think the lore is so strong, they're going to fucking go ahead and do that. So it's going to be... It'll be random. It'll be totally random for the foreseeable future. It'll be, you know, 2019, there might be all four sets, and then in 2020, there's going to be one that's a two-block set and then two single-block sets. So they're going to just do whatever they feel and not give us any kind of indication of, like, that we're going to rotate it in a certain fashion. It's going to be totally random.
Right.
But everything's going to be a big set, so every set should be exciting,
except for we're having core sets come back.
Before you go on to that, to step back real quick on the Masterpiece, I think we said it clearly enough. We're not completely disbanding the Masterpiece series. It is basically they're bringing it in every now and then.
So I have something to say about that. That's what's happening. They said, like, we're going to do it only when it feels right, when it feels special, when the cards match up and blah, blah, blah. And the thing is with the Masterpiece series is they gave us, like, 45 cards over two blocks. And it's like, couldn't you just do, like, 10 a block?
Yeah.
And
dude,
that'd be, like, less than half.
Yeah.
That'd be 40 cards a year, not 90 cards a year, and that feels, like, way better, you know? And I don't know. It just, like, I don't like that they just... had too many. I'd like to have maybe even like five cards. Just have like these nice set of like chase cards, and instead of putting them one per four booster boxes, put them one per eight booster boxes.
Right.
Make it like this really, really special moment, not just like fucking total lottery. Where you're gonna hit something that you're not even want.
Right.
Now you're gonna have five super important ones, and you maybe like three of the five. But you still have a 60% if you ever hit one, you're going to like it. Rather than now, you have like three cards that you like out of 25, and so you have a fucking 12% chance of liking the card you even opened in that special rare moment.
So the other part of the problem with it too was the lore behind it. So the lands from Zendikar, that was perfect. You know, Zendikar is all about exploring these new lands and everything's going on there.
The fucking
Kaladesh is all about artifacts. With online Ket, they weren't sure what to do and how to make the lore fit with it, so they decided to go instant sorceries, and people were like, you know, why instant sorceries? And then, so they had their explanation that was hard to, like, get out that people didn't really know, is that they chose a particular instant sorceries because they try to make them go with particular gods, what those gods might be able to cast, what they might be able to do, and that wasn't clear in any way. So the part of the problem is the lore of, like, what do we do now? We can't just keep doing this particular type of card. Like, what are we going to have, Masterpiece Planeswalkers? Dude, like, you have to have some lore to it.
Expeditions were fucking awesome. It's perfect. Yeah. Especially that a land is a cycle, so you have to do 10 or you have to do 5. You know, it's not like... I guess there's like, you know, Horizon Canopy or some other shit like that. But overall, you just have to throw the whole thing in there. So that makes sense that there should be 45 cards. But then when it's just like artifacts, you should probably just do like 5 artifacts and call it a fucking day and make it real special.
And then even with like Kaladesh and Amonkhet, there wasn't just... They said it was like emphasized on like instants and sorceries, to like spells to invocate the gods or whatever. But then, they still like threw like creatures in there. So it was just like, it was kind of a shit show for that particular block.
I got why Consecrated Sphinx was there, because it fit a Sphinx being from Egypt. Like,
right.
I get. But what they did wasn't clear. Like, I didn't know about that that's why they chose like the particular instant sorceries to kind of go with the gods until I read this article. Like, I didn't... That lore wasn't like readily available to most people.
It ain't clear to us.
Core sets are going to be back. Kind of.
These ones in there. Thank y'all.
So, core sets are going to be back, kind of, and we don't really know what that means. give or take. And this is just like a rough.
What do you mean? I thought they said that every single
okay,
September
so
or whatever.
Core sets are back.
Okay, so
one summer set is the core set.
So
once a year. What he's saying is they're going to be different.
You guys, the core sets are back.
I'm being literal.
That's literally what it says on the screen. As I explained, not me, when we got rid of the core set, there's always been an identity problem for newer players and franchise players, whatever. Basically, there's going to be one core set per year, but it's not going to be the core set that we know and love. They might not even be fucking called core sets. We don't really know. What we do know is they're going to be, give or take, 50% reprints, 50% new cards. And there's not going to be a heavy story in there, but it is going to kind of like a look back on, you know, Nissa's upbringing, or, you know, like this one time when Jace farted in the fucking Aether, and then, you know, that's how
that's the art for a cryptic command.
Yeah. So,
this fucking battery's not working. It goddamn doesn't fucking.
Just go home. You're not contributing to this cast, anyways.
I am actually trying to butt in, but you're like, but I'll get there. And I'm like, no, well, let me give a fucking my 2 cents, you fucking nerds.
I think that he got to one the last one because I feel like we're just having a discussion. And he's like, well, wait a minute, guys. I'm actually reading word for word, kind of.
Yeah, so you saw what I did there, though. I took it literally.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that you were talking about theme of the set or something.
Gotcha.
I was saying literally. I'm making sure that the audience knows that literally once a year there will be a core set like there was before.
Literally.
But the contents.
Core set.
The Mr. Knife City can talk about. This battery doesn't
now you can
work.
Proceed. We've come to terms and got clear here. Go ahead.
I just want
to
make sure the fucking audience isn't fucking snooze fest 2017 over here, bro. Fucking. God, dude, reading a dictionary over here. No, that's just me being rude. Don't worry about that.
How many drinks have you had today?
It's just the heat, bro. Yeah, I haven't had any drinks. I'm just fucking the heat, son.
Old fucking drink something.
Also, this shit is like 6 fucking
tobacco
percent alcohol in this fucking vape juice, dude. Oh, my
great.
God.
Kicking my ass. Corset. Yeah, it's coming back, but we don't know what it's going to look like.
So last thing about Corset, though. Because I know things.
You
is
do.
That they're making sure that everything is simple.
Right.
They are trying to make sure that core sets are about the new player while still giving reprints, but the reprints can't be complex. It can't be Cryptic Command because that's just they're not going to do the choose for, you know, make it where super situational, crazy, limited play. They want to make sure limited is going to be easy for a new player to understand and not have to fucking look at cards 6 times and just trust the other player like, this is what it does. And they're like, I don't understand, but I guess it does that thing. They're trying to avoid that with core sets, and then they get on to the regular complex, you know, new mechanic shit in the normal big sets.
And more importantly, it's a place to put Pithing Needle. Pithing Needle is just going to be the example because that's what standard needs sometimes. Sometimes you need a fucking Pithing Needle.
They reprinted Pithing Needle for Ixalan or whatever the fuck it is. But it's not Pithing Needle. It's 2 mana and it's Pithing Needle plus. This card is fucking dope, by the way. So it's 2 generic.
Okay.
And it is look at your opponent's hand, then Pithing Needle.
Oh.
So instead of just naming something blind or whatever, just thinking you got to be the pro player and be like, I know this deck. I play modern enough to know that this thing is the threat. Now it's like you look at the hand, and then you can name anything still. You can name something that's not in his hand, but you can still take advantage of that. So it's like,
hey, that would have
it's like
that would have
awesome.
Been a good answer to Marvel.
So before we move on to the Corset thing, I want to talk about my concern with it.
Okay.
And granted, this may be further a concern than may be necessary, but we'll see. We don't know how the corset's going to go. So the way they talk so much
damn,
about
feet
gearing
up,
towards
damn.
A new player and gearing towards the vanilla play, the non-intricate play, to make sure nobody gets their feelings hurt or they can't figure out the game, how to play it. If you read this whole fucking part of this article, talking about how, oh, we still want to make it fun for enfranchised players, but only to draft it a couple times and then like be done with it. Like, but then the new players will like to draft it. The way that reads to me is, hey,
we're not going to buy, experienced players do not buy corsets.
Yeah. You know, I'm worried about saying, like, you know, he doesn't want to say, hey, if you play this game and you know how to play it, don't actually buy this product, because they can't say that. But it's kind of like, I'm worried that that's kind of what he's getting at. Like, we'll see what preprints there are, but even them having the opportunity to reprint some preprints, if they all have to be basic anyways, there's plenty of fucking cards that we want reprinted that are a little more intricate than what they're saying they're going to do. Like, I could be overthinking it with that point, but it's just, I'm worried that's going to be so fucking dumbed down, we won't want to buy any packs of it at all.
Bro, it's going to be exactly what you're saying, but it's going to be sweet for the secondary market because we're going to be able to pick up the reprints at a cheap price because it's obviously opened up a whole bunch and new players are like, I'm going to sell this card because this card's worth $30 and that's fucking dope. And they just want the money because they're not like looking to build a modern deck yet. So we get to reap the rewards of that. But like you said, we're probably not going to be buying any of the packs because there's no reason to buy the packs. So, just take your fucking... It's like a Reaper. It's like a Modern Masters set mini. You're going to get 50 fucking cool cards or whatever that you can get.
Standard Masters.
Standard Masters. Standard Masters, basically. And you get to fucking go to the second... You get a TCG player, buy up your shit, and totally ignore Magic for 3 months besides
that. Yeah, but
that.
That's not... I mean... I get what you're saying. Yeah, that part of it's awesome. You want to fucking, you know...
No, it's not a good model. I'm saying that's literally what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's just... Like, not, to not me, taking off fucking 3+ months of wanting to, like, buy Magic cards doesn't sound good to
me. No, that's... The conversation is... That's legit. Like, it's not a good idea.
Like...
But that's what's going to happen, is that if they follow through with it, we're just going to reap the rewards of secondary market and then not play the Corset
like,
draft.
I want to know, like, after this first one comes out, how small are the numbers going to be, depending on what they actually reprint. How small are the numbers going to be on new pack sales? Because if it's just new players, how many new players are buying that much product they're just getting in the game they don't know it yet?
Well,
like, they're going to buy. Obviously, new people come in the game all the time. They're going to buy product. But people who have been playing this game, like how much...
Unless there's
legit money in there, are you buying packs of this set?
I don't take much stock into the whole new player side of it. That's not what's important about this. Totally ignored it from the article. What's important is that this is a fucking... This is the
reprint set.
This is the butter and the salt and the pepper for Standard. This isn't the meat and the potatoes. This is the shit that makes Standard a little bit better. This is all the shit that we need in Standard to make Standard a better environment.
That's a good point.
Because, okay.
Homie makes a good point.
I don't disagree with that. I'm happy the Corset's back. I'm just worried.
I'm not fighting you at all. I'm just saying what he said was smart without the rest of the conversation involved. I just thought that
I'm
one statement was cool.
Be too dumbed down. That's all I'm getting.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay,
agreed.
So if it's as dumbed down as Magic 2014, yeah, that's going to suck. But they did start ramping it up. Magic 2015 was decent.
That was a decent set,
you know?
That was better than decent.
Yeah. And then Origins, obviously, amazing. So as long as we don't go back to Magic 2014, which was, first of all, the draft environment was just glacier. It was slow as shit. There was an abundance of just vanilla crap. And as long as we don't go back to that, as long as it's like 2015 or above quality, then
we'll
be
fine. I'm
taking
bets on over-under if Crawworm is going to be reprinted in the first core set.
What is it?
Crawworm?
Crawworm. The fuck's Crawworm?
It's like a 7-mana 7/7 that's just vanilla creature. Oh. It is like an epitome of a big dummy.
I will take a bet. What do you want? How much money do you want to bet?
we'll get into the numbers here. I'm worried it's going to be just.
I'll bet you a
bullshit.
Gentleman's dollar that it will not be in the set.
Okay.
Yeah, we're done then. We got it.
Approach to the Gatewatch, blah, blah, blah. Masterpieces, blah, blah, blah. Something about we're changing things behind the scenes. Oh, we can't really talk about it, but R&D, blah, blah, blah. So that standard playgroup that's going to really be cracking down on how...
trying to discover Felder Guardian before it hits again.
Exactly. So let's move the fuck on from that. And I would actually like Crow to talk about this. I want you to talk about this Magic Digital Next Update article.
Okay, give me a second. Get on
by
to it.
I'll talk about it.
By Jeffrey Steffel.
Jeffy Steff? Love that guy.
Jeff Steff. He's my nigga.
Have you read the article?
I have.
Okay, well, that's a problem. I haven't read this one yet.
Take it away!
I couldn't find it. The Magic site's not easy.
Have you read the article?
You're fired. No.
Okay, well,
all
right.
I read all
the articles, but I mean, like, I don't have anything to fucking say.
Oh,
about
no,
it.
I did read part of this. Yeah. So, essentially, you know, part of this goes on to talk about Magic Digital Next and what the plans are for it. They are mostly hush hush about it. We do know, besides the fact that Cryptic Studios is making a MMORPG from Magic the Gathering, that was announced like last week or so. We talked about that on the cast. Magic Digital Next is not the same product. Magic Digital Next is going to be taking on the role of, we don't know the details yet, but it's, you know, it's taking on the role of like a Magic Duels mixed into like a better, more competitive play. We don't have like the real meat and potatoes of what's going to be happening with it. We do know that at HasCon in September, early September, they're going to be revealing much more information about it, and early demos of the game will be available at HasCon after that point. So in line with all this comes that, unfortunately, Magic Duels is no longer going to be supported.
So even like
right now, Our Devastation is not being released on Magic Duels. So the cards that are in the game right now are the only cards that are ever going to be in Magic Duels at this point. That's kind of a bummer, but at the same time, I get it, because if you're trying to make a step forward into what you're doing with Magic Digital next, you're going to take money away from the other companies making the other product because you want to do something better than that product. And it's just kind of shitty for the players who are like enfranchising the Magic Duels and like loving it for this. I feel like that's a very good casual platform for newer players. Like, I just recently started playing Magic Duels on the Xbox on spare time here and there a little bit, and I turn it on, I hit you know, see a multiplayer game for it, and it's right away. Like, no matter what time of the day I play it, somebody, like, many people are still on playing at all times. Like, it is not like a stagnant, like, M15 one where it was just a particular game, like that was only set in the deal, where you could go click multiplayer for that and you could wait 20 minutes to get a game. Magic Duels is still very popular, and it can turn it on at any point, hit multiplayer, and be ready to play against anybody any time, day or night.
It's true, though. If you want this, next product to be really good, you got to get the full team on board, and you got to just ignore the old shit, because progress is progress, homie.
So I do entirely get that. It's just it's kind of, it is like taking that leap to that point. Like, obviously they're already working on it. I talked about already, Mike, that they're setting out demos for Magic Digital next in early September in HasCon.
Right, right.
And they're talking about right now about how Duels is getting disbanded.
Yep, it's two steps forward, one step back.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, they made a cool digital product. It didn't last that long. Next.
Oh, it did last like 2 years, though. It came out in 2015.
Yeah, I mean, but that's, you know, to put an axe to a game 2 years later, that's...
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And that's what I was saying, like, it's... That's my point about how it is... I feel like that game itself, we don't know anything about Magic Digital Next yet, so Magic Duels is a very solid game for new players to get into, for people who are playing online and go, wait a minute, this is actually a card game? Like, maybe I haven't heard of this before, or maybe I've heard of this and I have friends who play, but I don't know how to play it, this is how I'll learn. Like, yeah. Magic Duels does fill a need, and so it's kind of, I feel it's a little bit awkward to just completely straight cut it right now. Like, at least, I feel like they should have, like, at least finished out this block and finished out the Hour of Devastation and said, hey, it's done. But at the same time, I agree with Jace. I get it. If you're trying to go on to the next big thing, cut ties on the money you're spending for this company. Go to the next company.
Can't waste resources.
And I understand that. It just, for the player base, because it's still a very active player base, it's kind of shitty to just all of a sudden done.
Yeah, once again, it's unfortunate that Wizards is doing this very wishy-washy thing. At the same time, we need to realize what we were just talking about before and say, hey, maybe they know what they're doing. Don't freak out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, I'm kind of freaking out a little bit. Even though I didn't
I feel like you want me to talk about this article as you figure, like, it was like a stab to the heart for me for playing Magic Duels.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because on our group text, you said, like, oh, Magic Duels is dead. I'm like, yeah, fuck you. I already read that like 3 hours ago. Suck a dick. You're not getting me right now, bro. I already did my grieving. But yeah, I mean, I get it. But it's still, there's that little bit of a bummer side to it for me as well.
What else we got, homie?
Bummer. So let's go on to the 25th anniversary announcement day, which I think is the next announcement. There's so many goddamn announcements, it's hard to keep track.
That's not a bad thing, but yeah.
All I know is that we've got a lot of shit in this one thing. Hey, Sauce, have you ever wanted to put a bandana around your head and get some scallywags aboard your sea vessel? And then when you
arrive on land,
when you arrive upon land, you wanted to have a sword fight with a dinosaur,
and then they go
and not just any dinosaurs, apparently they are now historically accurate feathered dinosaurs. Put that in your fucking pipe and smoke it.
For no fucking reason, because it's a multiverse and has nothing to do with the history of our time.
They just want to show they're smart. They're nerds. It's the real nerds. They want to be like, hey, Jurassic Park, you've fooled the masses long enough. We're going to show them the real... We're going to bring the light to them. Card reference.
Ixalan is the next plane we're going to be...
Vraska, Pirate, and Dinosaurs? Oh, my God!
Yep, what there, he there said.
Vraska's coming back, though.
And that releases September 29th.
Medusa's now a pirate. That's interesting.
Oh, yeah. And the second set of in the Ixalan block is called Rivals of Ixalan.
I don't like saying Ixalan. I don't like this name.
Yeah, it's not a fun word.
It's not a great word. Doesn't fucking roll off the tongue, you know?
This Ixalan. This is very exciting.
Ixalan.
There's a new multiplayer...
Explorers of Ixalan.
It's, I don't see why they have to put the name in every goddamn thing. EVI is coming out. Explorers of Ixalan is out of the box.
It should have been called Dino Rivals.
Out of the box multiplayer magic experience that challenges you to defeat your opponents along the way as you search for the lost city. All right, begin your exploration. November.
It's kind of interesting that they're now putting all these extra products out that go with the sets, like the whole Arch Enemy Nicol Bolas, like this is the Ixalan version of that, in that sense, is what it feels
yeah,
like.
Yeah, that's what it feels like
and
to me.
And I like it. I mean, we'll see how Arch Enemy plays out. Like, if you look at the cards and the decks in there, it's kind of interesting. And the idea of adding, like, this touch of, like, getting into the tabletop world combined with the card game world, it's kind of, I like it.
It's kind of like a single player, or a multiplayer campaign mode that they're doing, basically. Right. It's like, you buy this set, it's like a standalone thing, you play it for a month, and then you're done with it, and then maybe the next set's out, and you just fucking move on to the next set. But you have this good time of playing this story-incorporated Magic the Gathering game, while you're still playing Magic the Gathering that you know and love, not playing that shitty board game, which is probably what they were trying to aim for, was having this, like, oh, it's like this little campaign that you get to play, and while you're not playing, you know, regular sets, you can move on to do this little standalone thing. And it's like, nobody wants to play the board game Magic the Gathering. They want to play Magic the fucking Gathering.
Yeah.
And then have maybe, like, this idea of a story or something, or some goal that you're trying to reach or whatever, but you still want to play 60-card deck fucking Magic, you know what I mean? That's what you're trying to do.
What I like is that Magic is continuing to show this future vision of, hey, we know we have a fucking fantastic product in this huge community that follows it and constantly buys everything we fucking do. Now, this new world is online. There's new fucking... this Hearthstone world, this esports world, this tabletop gaming world. Hey, wait a minute. We have this great product. Let's throw all the darts at the fucking board and see what hits. So here's our MMORPG game coming out. Here's our tabletop version of Magic to give you to get those player base a deal. And here's our fucking... here's our Hearthstone esports style Magic Digital next to go with it.
And if
I think it's fucking pretty sweet. I agree with they're going forward and trying to, like,
darts on the board,
continue.
Give you a good year or two of see what fucking hits, see what people are into, and then kind of abandon, or not abandon because it's a standalone product and it's all done, you know, whatever this new...
yeah, but the line of thinking, the style of gameplay, yeah, if this tabletop...
it's a good idea.
Explorers of Ixalan is shit and nobody wants to play it, they don't make the next one. But if it's awesome, then you got a sweet new fucking product to put out between sets.
Yep. Agreed.
And I know you guys went over it while I stepped out, but I just want to go back and say that a lot of people are shitting on the Magic MMORPG. They're like, oh, MMORPGs, that's so 2009. Oh, it's idiots. Like, whatever. They're like, oh, that genre isn't popular anymore.
Oh, my
you
God.
You know what? Go yeah, fuck yourself. That doesn't stop people with coming out with different style chessboards.
Also,
you know what I mean?
That ain't true.
Yeah, that's
fucking people. A lot of people play that shit.
People
still
have been playing fucking paying a monthly fee for a while for fucking 20 years now. Oh,
they're
long?
Trying to take stake in the game type that people come back to the most. Oh, how dare them. How dare them trying to get 1,000 hours out of this game rather than play a fucking 10-hour campaign like every other fucking game. Like, how dare them?
All these people were talking about, oh, yeah, well, WoW fucking hit its stride in, like, 2000-something or other, and they got up to 14 million subscribers. Now they're only down to, like, 7 or 8 million.
Yeah, 7 or 8 oh, million. Yeah.
Only 7 or 8 million on a 15-year-old game.
What
okay.
A fucking shithead of
pussies.
A fucking game that
they
is.
They should have never made that game.
Yeah, they're probably all losing their
Blizzard
houses
sucks.
Right now. Fucking eating their dogs to survive right now. That's what they're doing over at fucking WoW, you fucking morons. I'm super excited for it. And fuck you, Magic is trying to expand, and that's always great.
How is there anything wrong with them throwing the darts at the board and trying to hit every fucking thing they can do? Like, what could possibly wrong with that? As long as they're not taking away from the main product which you all love, which they're not, how is there anything wrong with them expanding?
Well, it's just like the whole, if something doesn't work, then they're just going to abandon it. Sort of like duels. That's the problem.
It kind of reminds me of Frontier, where people are getting mad about something that doesn't involve them at all.
Yeah.
It's like, why you get mad about it? Like, just don't fucking play
don't buy it.
Ignore it. Never read an article about
it. If you don't like OGs, then suck a dick and don't look at it. Yeah, yeah. Don't play it.
How dare them have Thai restaurants in my neighborhood? I don't even like Thai food.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. Just don't fucking go there. And then that's...
Oh, your neighbor's gay. Well, let him be. Don't talk to him.
Yeah, but
like
that location could have been something I liked.
Yeah.
It could have been a sweet hot dog kiosk.
It could have been a hot dog stand right in the middle of town where they have a building behind it, but nobody goes in there. It's just a stand in front of it.
I wanted a Sonic.
Yeah, I wanted a fucking Sonic. And you know what? I'm really mad. They could have used those resources for something that I liked.
You know what? I was really hoping
Why
for...
Why is Chick-fil-A open on Sundays?
I was really hoping for a second IHOP in my town. But no, they got to put that bullshit in there.
They put the 10th Denny's, God damn it.
Yeah. How dare them put in a profitable business in my neighborhood? Yeah. Idiots.
Oh, diversity's garbage.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much that.
So the new dual deck is going to be... Oh, I think we hit it at the park with Merfolks versus goblins. Ooh.
So my question is, I don't think they've announced.
Merfolk.
Do you guys think that they're reprinting the original Merfolk versus Goblins or making a whole entirely new one?
New set.
I hope so.
Yeah, new set.
Because I already have the old Merfolk versus Goblins, and it's fun, but I really hope it's a new fucking
version. No, new set. No worries.
I can only assume it's the
No worries.
Ooh, this is interesting. Not. From the Vault Transform.
I disagree with you saying not.
Takes the From the Vault series and, well, flips it. From the Vault Transform releases on November 24th and collects 15 of our favorite transforming cards.
I agree with you that it's not exciting, except for if you think about the fact is, where else are they ever going to reprint the Magic Origins Planeswalkers? And I feel like you're overlooking the Origins Walkers. If they're not in this, then they did a horrible fucking job. Because if you're just doing the Innistrad flip werewolves, then who the fuck
Well,
cares?
They might just do only, like, two of them. They might do, like, Jace and Liliana or Jace and Nissa or something like that. I totally agree with you saying that. Besides the Planeswalkers, it's how the fuck are they ever going to reprint those flip cards? Because they just can't without having whatever. You know what I mean? They're not even going to do it in a core set, probably, because it's still just, like, they kind of have
so
to make
unique,
a thing with
yeah,
it. It's so
yeah,
unique. So this is something that they have to, like, do to get it out there again, or else they just don't get it out there again. Unless
right.
they introduce
Somebody
new cards.
Before, like, how the fuck they ever reprint these is part of the reason we kept talking about, like, hey, when the Origins booster box is cheap as fuck, you might as well buy it because when they're never going to reprint this. Except for the supplementary product, like, from the vault, which is, you know, a possibility. But,
so,
like, I feel like if they don't put these in there, it's a huge mistake.
We're not going to buy it, though, right?
Isn't
so we don't
From
care.
The Vault supposed to be like, hey, we're reaching back into the vault and bringing all this old stuff back? From the Vault Transform has to include some of this new flip stuff, like the Origins Planeswalkers, or, like, you know, Gizzlebrand or fucking Gisela, whatever the fuck that thing was.
Gizzlebrand.
Yeah, that one. So
whatever, the angel needs some jizz on her.
If they include anything Origins on up, I think it's too soon. If they just do things pre-Origins, okay, fine. It's been long enough to where you can kind of bring some of that stuff back.
The worry is, like, unless I'm seeing it wrong, what other sets have anything flip on besides Innistrad blocks?
Exactly, and so my...
Like, am I missing something? Or, you know what? It could be morph cards.
Yeah, that too.
It could also be the ones that you turn upside down, the fucking one that you... When it flips, you know, that mistake set from Kamigawa or whatever.
I think Transform would... I think it's talking more like flip.
I agree. I'm just trying to
I guess it could be coming down flip. So,
yeah. I just think it's too soon for this. That's why I'm not excited about
From
it
the vaults,
at all.
Too soon.
From the vaults, too soon. Nailed it. And I guess this is kind of boring. On April 28th, 2018, we're going back to Dominaria.
It may be boring for us, but a lot of people are very, very excited about this.
No, I'm saying that sarcastically because that is, like, the original plane of Magic the Gathering. So we're actually going to go back and take a look at that. And that's very, very exciting.
The disappointing part is we'll be nowhere near the power level. That's the only disappointing part.
Well, I mean, it's going to be the same power level, just creatures, not spells this time.
Yeah, that's nowhere near the power level. Jesus Christ, the creatures are horrible.
I
want to
read off what sets are on or have something to do with Dominaria. Okay, you ready?
Read it.
Antiquities, Legends, The Dark, Ice Age,
The
Alliances,
Dark, best set
best
ever,
set
The
ever.
Dark.
Cold Snap, Mirage, Visions, Urza Saga, Urza's Legacy, Urza's Destiny, Invasion, Plane Shift, Apocalypse, Odyssey, Torment, Judgment, Onslaught, Legion, Scorn, Time Spiral, Planar Chaos, Future Sight are all take place on it.
Technically Origins, too.
What's that? And Origins.
I mean, technically, just because Liliana's came from.
Right.
Kind of being a dick a little
don't,
bit.
Don't confuse the poor boy. Arcadian
masks.
of either of those two know. Words, the word to fuck up.
I don't even know.
This mask.
I don't even know. It's got like a Q in there for some reason. I don't fucking know. It's fucking bad. Odyssey. And some other shit. Anyways, it's a fucking ton of early stuff that we have no idea what's even in, basically. Like, only the three top cards from each of these sets were like, yeah, okay, that's from that. But that's exciting. This is like all the fucking old school legacy vintage players are probably like literally setting their houses on fire right now to get their insurance money so they can buy these cards. So
they don't need to do that. It's still a standard set.
They're not going to sell their fucking. They're not going to sell their shit.
As part of the 25th anniversary, they're going to be releasing a 25th anniversary edition master set.
I mean, so, if you watch the video they talk about, people were confused that Iconic Masters was supposed to be like the 25 years of Magic and blah, blah, blah. That's not the case. Iconic Masters is iconic creatures and spells that are iconic to the game that most a lot of people know.
Right.
Masters 25, which they actually think they said they made a comment that they're releasing it based on the excitement level of everybody's like, oh, they're releasing cards from 25 years of Magic with Iconic Masters, and that's not the case. Right. They're like, wait a minute, why don't we make a Masters 25? And so that's where that stemmed from, is actually people.
So this is the master set for 2018. So there will not be Modern Masters or Eternal Masters or any other version. It'll just be this
25 be years of Magic.
The so the cool master set. So what is it called?
Masters
25th anniversary edition Masters set. So okay. I don't think there's a official title, at least not in this article I'm reading. But it's going to contain 249 cards from across Magic's entire history.
All reprints.
And will provide a drafting experience like previous Masters products.
It's exciting.
Yeah. I mean, it is kind of confusing with the Iconic Masters and, let's just call it, 25 Masters.
I mean, I'm pretty sure we all thought that Iconic Masters was the 25th anniversary cool, gimmicky, right. Fucking great
thing. That's what everybody else thought, and that's why they decided, like, wait a second, that's a good idea, let's make one.
Yeah.
So that kind of stemmed from
pretty,
everybody.
Pretty sweet, pretty sweet.
So July 20th, 2018, they will be putting out, let's just call it M19. M19.
Corsets.
They're putting out, that's what I like.
Ooh, they're putting it out. And then finally.
No! Yes!
Finally, Crow can shut the hell up about it already.
I'm not going to shut up about it at all.
Woo! Let's do it.
Unstable.
Called it.
That's like saying eventually there's going to be a baby born. Oh, I called it.
Yeah, I called it.
In the world somewhere, somebody's being born right now.
Hey, we haven't had an unset for many, many years, so there was no guarantee we're going back.
It was a fan favorite. But anyways, we are traveling back there to the world of silver-bordered cards.
Cards like that have shoe counter on them, where that comes your creature on the battlefield, and it can have up to two counters on it based on how many of your shoes you take off of your feet and put on the card on the table.
And that releases, December 8th, 2017.
Christmas drafting, baby.
That's going to be close.
It's going to be fucking awesome.
Than we thought.
I'm so excited. Draft.
And I just hope the lands are as amazing as all the other ones. And something
you gotta assume, so they're not going to just put basic lands in there. They're going to put some kind of cool, sweet, full art. Yeah, they got to put full
art. HasCon, blah, blah, blah. There's going to be pre-release for Iconic Masters, and that's when everyone's going to get a look at that set. That is September 8th through the 10th.
They're also releasing early demos for MDM, MDN,
Magic Digital Next. Yes, Magic Digital Next. So you have to have a current up-to-date Wizards account that's not a DCI number. That means you actually have to go in, enter into the Wizards website, and all that jazz is... Mr. Fuckface over here would say.
Hey, it was a nice quote till you said fuckface.
And set that all up. And also, I don't know if you know, I logged into Magic Duels, and if you link your whatever account you're playing Duels on, if you link that to your Wizards account, you get 2,000 gold.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's exciting.
So,
less exciting now that the game's being canceled. Yeah. Which, in theory, the game will still be able to be played, but nothing new is coming.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's still like a pretty big card pool, you know, to have played with. So, there's that. Is there any other fucking exciting news going on?
No, well, there are a bunch of new spoilers, though, that I can go off with.
So, eventually. There was a... Why don't you take it away, Hot Sauce?
Right. Spoiler time?
Well, I mean, just describe why there are
There is an uncut sheet of foil cards that got spoiled somehow. And so they, you know, like Mythic Spoiler has kind of like the cutouts of whatever they can actually read. And yeah, so there's a lot of information about the Ixalan or whatever set. So yeah, we have
a full cut sheet from fucking Hour of Devastation.
Yeah, it's not even Hour of Devastation. They're literally someone fucked up real bad. We barely just got a picture of fucking Vraska fighting dinosaurs, and now we have like 20 cards. So
and one of the biggest things to notice is that the buddy lands are back.
Yeah, I love those lands.
So go ahead and pick them up now because those are some pretty good fucking lands to have in Standard.
Yeah, damn straight. They're super good.
Yeah.
All right, so let's look at this first one. Vanquisher's Banners, 5-mana artifact. As this card enters the battlefield, choose a creature type. Creatures you control of the chosen type get +1/+1. Whenever you cast a creature spell of the chosen type, draw a card. Super powerful effect, high mana cost, but fucking dope, right?
And solid commander card.
Pretty cool. Then there's that Sorceress Spyglass. So that's that 2-mana Pithing Needle. Then there is Daring Saboteur. It is a human pirate, 1 and a blue.
That's a sick archetype.
Yeah, right? 1 and a blue. It doesn't see the power and toughness. We have no idea what it is because the card's cut off. But it has pay, 2 and a blue. This creature can't be blocked this turn. And then whenever it deals combat damage to a player, you may draw a card. If you do, discard a card.
Holy crap.
So probably a sweet-ass uncommon, probably.
What's up? Raid is back.
Holy shit. Haven't got there yet. I will, though, very shortly.
I was so shocked I had to interrupt. Okay. Go ahead.
Captain Lannery Storm. 2 and a red. It is a legendary creature, human pirate. It's 2/2 with haste. Whenever it attacks, create a colorless treasure artifact token with sack this artifact, tap it and sack it, add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. So basically the treasure artifact is gold. Right? It looks like the same thing as gold. But it's a colorless artifact. Well, I guess gold is a colorless artifact as well, so...
Yeah. This is the first time I'm looking at these because I just saw the picture.
No, for sure. I haven't looked at them either.
So I'm looking at some of these, and these are fucking crazy.
Awesome. Arcane Adaptation. It is an enchantment for 2 and a blue. When it enters the battlefield, choose a creature type. So we're getting really strong on the fucking tribal shit, I guess. Creatures you control are the chosen type in addition to their other types. Oh, that's spicy. The same is true for creature spells you control and creature cards that you own that aren't on the battlefield. So basically, it is like kind of like that Painter's Servant, but for creatures. So everything is that creature type that anywhere.
If you can go search for a zombie card, you can search basically for any card.
Yep, and you just name it.
This stems back to what I brought up a couple months ago now, maybe like last month, that Mario had an article on his one of his social media pages, and somebody asked him, hey, are we ever going to have any kind of tribal things going on again? Like, I loved Mirrodin, blah, blah, blah. And Mario said, yes, we had something in the works. It looks like it's Ixalan.
It looks like what it is right here. Bishop of Rebirth, 3 and double white, 5 mana for a creature vampire cleric. It's a vigilance 3/4. Whenever it attacks, you may return target creature with converted mana cost 3 or less from the graveyard to the battlefield. Well, okay, cool. It's expensive, but pretty cool. Let's see here. Moving past that, we have. Let me read this thing. This thing's kind of blurry, so I got to look at the other page. Ashes of the Abhorrent? I don't even know what fucking word is that.
Abhorrent?
Abhorrent. Yeah, I don't know. It's a card. It's an enchantment. It's 1 and a white. 2 mana. Players can't cast spells from graveyards or activate abilities of cards in graveyards. Whenever a creature dies, you gain 1 life. So it's basically Authority of the Councils, but for your fucking graveyard or something. It's like, it really puts a damper on some strategies.
What color is that?
Like Greeks, it's white.
It's white.
And like Greeks are zombies, no.
Yeah, it's like Stony Silence or one of those. It's a fucking white hate card.
It's like 4 mana though, right?
No, it's still 1 and a white. It's 2. It's like totally that rest in peace.
That's the good.
It's like Graf Digger's Cave. Hey. Yeah, Graf Digger's Cave kind of thing. Yeah.
My zombies were just good. God damn it.
Oh, it's also a common. No, I'm just kidding. Let's see here.
These are all rares, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
I don't know if they all are or not, actually. I can't really tell. To be honest,
like that blue creature doesn't sound like be.
No, I don't.
Daring Saboteur doesn't sound like a rare card, but we also don't know its power and toughness. So if it is like a 3 fucking power card that says every turn you pay 3 mana, you get to do 3 damage and draw and discard a card, like that could be a rare file.
So I read this one and I was excited about it, and
Give it to me.
I've gotten excited about cards like this in the past, and they turned out to be shit. But we have Vraska's Contempt. For 2BB, it's an instant. Exile target creature or planeswalker. You gain 2 life.
That's for 4 mana.
For 4 mana.
2 and 2 black.
Instant, though. So it's like, hey, you wanted Hero's Downfall back. Well, you're not going to get it. But 1 mana
exile,
and you exile.
And you gain 2 life, which doesn't... It just kind of adds that, well, we got to do...
It doesn't make it feel as bad.
But they made the card, and they're like, we got to do a little extra. 2 life. 2 life. Everyone loves life, right?
Yeah.
Deep Root Champion. 1 and a green. Creature Merfolk Shaman. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, put a 1/1 counter on it. So, yeah. It's a 1/1 for 2 mana. But it gets bigger from all non-creature spells, which is kind of weird for Merfolk, because Merfolk kind of... They like spells, but right, but they kind of also want to just be playing creatures and Aether Vial and all that shit, so it's kind of strange.
Well, it's also strange it's in green.
Yeah, it's also in green Merfolk. It's kind of weird, too. Yeah. Dreamcaller, that's the strangest thing to me. Dreamcaller Siren. 5 mana. 3 and 2 blue. It's a Siren Pirate.
What?
Pretty dope. It's a 3/3 with Flash and Flying, so already good for 5 mana. Can only block creatures with flying. When it enters the battlefield, if you control another pirate, tap up to 2 target non-land permanents. So, probably not going to do a whole lot, but this is pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah, like the siren lore there. Like, hey, he comes in, you have more pirates on your ship, you need to find have these other permanents come crashing into the shores as the siren and comes in.
Right.
That kind of deal.
Man, this is... Is that right? Looks like... I think the mana cost in this one's wrong, but Goring Ceratops. 5 white-white. I think it's 3 white-white, but it might be 5 white-white. I don't know. It's a creature dinosaur. It's actually a fucking dinosaur. That's awesome.
I think it's 5.
Okay, it's 5 then. So it's 7 mana for this creature dinosaur. Has double strike. Whenever it attacks, other creatures you control gain double strike till end of turn.
It's probably seven mana.
Holy shit. We don't see the power and toughness, but let's just guess that it's a fucking 4/4 or something like that. Something decent size, you know what I mean? So everything fucking games double strike. Jesus Christ. Next one we got is a human pirate. It is a hostage taker. That's pretty cool. 2 blue-black.
Parlay.
2 Dimir. So 4 mana for a 2/1 human pirate. Whenever it enters the battlefield, exile target artifact or creature until it leaves the battlefield. You may cast that... Oh, my God.
Whoa.
You may cast that card for as long as it remains
exiled. Dimir Stealers, here it comes, baby.
And you may spend mana as any type to cast it. Oh, that's fucking... That's a spicy
Dimir, I love Dimir. That's a fun
card. Oh, yeah, that's
right
a good
there.
Card.
That's a fun
Welcome
card.
Welcome to my EDH deck.
So, obviously, there's the buddy lands, you know, like the Drowned Catacomb. Enters the battlefield tapped unless you control an island or a swamp, and it taps for those 2 things.
I'm ordering these right now.
Ordering what? The cards?
Yeah.
Are they gone down in price?
No, the lands.
Are they gone down in price now because of the...
Well, they're not in standard, so...
Oh, okay.
But these are going to be... I think at least these are going to be somewhat premier dual lands for...
Right.
For
they're very standard. Good lands. If you ever play these lands, they're fantastic. I mean, they go with your shocks, let alone, you know, all that jazz. So they're good cards. I don't see how they don't see more modern play in general. I don't know why they wouldn't.
So a lot of these cards are kind of blurred out, so a lot of the text is kind of bleh, but... Okay, Tihana, Voice of Thunder, legendary creature, Merfolk, star power. Power and toughness are equal to the number of cards in your hand. You have no maximum hand size. And when it enters the battlefield, draw a card for each creature you control.
Oh, yeah, here
and
we go.
The mana cost isn't there yet, but let's just say it's 5. I have no idea, but that's probably a toughness you'd think. Or, a mana cost you would imagine for something like that.
That's what that blue god needed. Unlimited hand size.
Yeah, really. Let's see here. We don't know the name, but it looks like Haven Raptor. 2 green-greens, 4 mana for a dinosaur. It's a 4/5, so 4/5 for 4 mana. There's a mechanic that it shows here. It's called Tough. That's the new mechanic. Whenever it is dealt damage, draw a card.
Huh. What was that? The Saffron Olive combo deck where you shoot the birds, draw a card.
Oh, yeah. fucking, what is it called?
I forget right now.
What was the saying? I can't, yeah, like...
Yeah, shoot my bird, draw a card.
Yeah, something like that. God damn it. I don't remember what it was called.
You guys are dumb.
It's a good...
Shoot my dinosaur, draw a card.
Basically that. Whenever it's dealt damage, I guess, is the only thing.
Dinosaur's
so.
Tough, draw a card.
So, other things that are actually more relevant, like we actually seen clear cuts of the card. Jace's Defeat, 1 and a blue, instant. Counter target blue spell if it was a Jace Planeswalker spell, scry two.
That one's from Hour of Devastation. That was spoiled by Wizards.
Right. I'm sorry. So we're moving on to Hour of Devastation,
and that
basically
is from the actual set, or is that from the Planeswalker deck?
That is the question.
Oh,
but
shit.
I believe it's Hour of Devastation. It just on the Magic on Twitter,
you're right,
posted
you're right
on Magic saying Hour of Devastation, this
it's
card.
It's probably from the...
It
yeah,
makes sense.
Right.
It would be from the dual deck, but or the intro Planeswalker deck, but... I mean, I guess
you okay
have to wait.
Here's two
and
spicy
see
cards. Ramenap Excavator.
Did you just say
two
to me?
And a green. 3 mana for a 2/3. Naga Cleric. You may play land cards.
Naga Cleric.
You may play land cards from your graveyard.
Crucible of Worlds and I care on a creature.
Yeah, it's a 2/3 Crucible
of Worlds.
Kind
of like Nagus of the Moon for Blood Moon.
Exactly. It's exactly that. That's fucking... That's powerful.
Yeah, that's
fucking
sweet.
Way powerful.
That'd be expensive card.
It's legit.
Wildfire Eternal. 3 and a red.
Wait.
What?
Zombie Jackal Cleric. Oh my god.
Zombie Jackal Cleric.
Talk about Snake Elf Druids. That's a fucking sweet creature type right there.
Fuck yeah, it
Zombie
is.
Jackal Cleric.
It's a 1/4 for 4 mana, so you know it's going to be good. It's got Afflict 4. Whenever this creature becomes blocked, defending player loses 4 life. Whenever it attacks and isn't blocked, you may cast an instant or sorcery card from your hand without paying the mana cost.
That's fucking control city.
That's fucking...
Oh,
that's
my
crazy
goodness.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a hell of a creature. So, yeah, it's a really good one. And then there's a new mechanic from Hour Devastation called Eternalize. It looks just like Embalm,
yeah,
where it's on the card, and we're guessing that when it dies and it's in the graveyard, you get to use this... You know, mechanic for whatever. And so there's a bunch of theory about what it would be. One really bad one, that Eternalize is just Embalm, but it gets +1/+1 counter.
Oh, God, I hope not.
But
don't,
here,
don't
here,
do Mega
hear Morph. Me out. Hear me out, though.
Jesus
this is the card
Christ
that they spoiled or that's leaked or whatever is Adorned Pouncer. It's a 2-mana 1/1 with double strike. And so that makes sense that if it is like that, you got to pay 5 mana and you get a 2/2 with double strike instead. That's a really bad mechanic.
By the way, this is also the full art card that's going to be more than likely the game day consolation prize. Like
it looks fucking awesome.
The artwork on it is fucking amazing. I love it.
So the other thing I got
a theory on Immortalize. I'm going to go, or Eternalize. I'm going to go ahead and say that it's not 1/1 counters, that it's pay that mana and it becomes indestructible.
Okay. So that's the second one, right? Is that
I don't know. I've heard anybody else's thoughts. That's my first thought.
And so the last thought is that Eternalize is that you get to just go ahead and cast it as many times as you want. It'll make a token forever. So instead of exiling it from your graveyard,
that actually,
it will just go ahead and make it as many times as you want. So you it costs 5, which is way expensive for a double strike 1/1, but you get to do that for as many times as you want.
Yeah, it's mana sync. Yeah, that would definitely be cool.
Or
that's
kind
of why I was thinking more like the indestructible part, because of just how much of a high cost.
It could be something also where like you pay this cost, you do it, but now it puts it back in the bottom of your library. Or something like that. So it's something that it's not going. It seems like it's not going to exile from your graveyard,
right?
Unless it gets indestructible. Some way to make it where you can do it again, or it lasts longer, or something like that. It just totally the obvious name is obvious. So
we got a sweet other card. Actually, you know what? Adorned Pounce is probably actually the one of the winners for game day, because that's usually a rare. The other one we have for full art is actually uncommon. I didn't realize. A Braid for 1 and a red, instant. Choose one. A Braid deals 3 damage to target creature or destroy target artifact. I love cards that give you fucking options and give you fucking different routes to use.
Yeah, fucking
so,
commands, bro.
Like, yeah, man.
Instant speed commands are dope.
Fucking A. So this is like, this is a good, I think it's a solid card. I mean, why would this not see play?
Uncommon, but yeah, it seems like pretty badass fucking card. So I think I have a couple more to talk about, if I may. Let me get onto it. This fucking, for some reason, Mythic Spoiler is a little slow right now. So you said the exile target creature one, right? You said that. Then there is a Rowdy Crew. It's 5 mana, 3 double red. Goblin Pirate.
This is Ixalan again.
Ixalan again, sorry, we're going back. 3/3 with trample. Enters the battlefield, draw 3 cards, then discard 2 cards at random. If the two cards discarded this way share a type, it gets this creature, Rowdy Crew, gets 2 1/1 counters. So I think that this is a mythic rare. It looks like it. The set symbol is very dark. Or the set symbol is very dark for it. So I think it's a mythic rare. So 5/5, 3/3 trample, draw 3 cards, discard 2 at random. It gets bigger, it turns into a 5/5 trample.
Yeah, it's a 3/3 to start.
Yeah. So that's not very exciting.
No,
it's kind of like
Bedlam Rebel. That's not a good enough mythic right there.
Yeah, Yeah, I kind of have to agree with you on that.
I mean, if you drew three and then discarded two, then that's more talkable. But it's random. That sucks.
Yeah. Bloodstained Paladin. 3 and a black. So 4 mana for Vampire Knight, 3/4. Has Flash. Black creature with Flash. Weird. Enters the battlefield with a 1/1 counter on it for each creature that died this turn. Okay, well, that makes sense that it has Flash. I don't know if that's... I think that's probably an uncommon or something like that. We're getting on to the last couple here. This is... Well, it kind of... They don't really know what it is, but it looks like Org Hand Ravager, which is probably incorrect.
Org?
Yeah. Ogre? God damn it. Why do I always do that? Dude, I totally fuck that up all the time.
I always misspell Rogue, too.
Yeah, why?
Rogue.
It's Rogue, dude.
That's Rouge.
Rouge. So this is an Orc Pirate Wizard. 4/4 for 5 mana.
Set of triple types. I love it.
4/4 for 5 mana. Has Menace and Death Touch. Enters the battlefield. Each player loses a third of his or her life rounded up.
Yeah, he does.
So
up until that point, this card is sweet. I hate those kind of cards. It's just I'm not a big fan at all.
Everyone
of like
takes the hit kind
of
card.
Like the one of the cards are compared to right here. Like I cards like this, I don't play in Commander because it's just not fun to me. Raving Dead, you know, Death Touch deals common damage to a player. That player loses half their life rounded down. It's like that kind of cards. I'm not a fan of.
Yeah,
it just takes away from the game.
No, I'm with you on that. See if they got one more. This kind of fucking cut up. Okay. Ruin Raider. 2 and a black, Orc Pirate. It has Raid, like you said. At the beginning of your end step, if you attack with a creature this turn, reveal the top card of your library and put that card into your hand. You lose life equal to the card's converted mana cost. So it's another stupid Dark Confidant. So, yeah. But it's... Okay, so it raid, but it doesn't like. That's weird. So it doesn't bring it. It's like a different kind of raid. It still does.
If
the
you
whole,
remember,
like,
raid had different triggers on different creatures.
Did it? What else did raid do besides bring creatures
raid,
back?
The raid comment itself just meant
as long as you attacked.
That's all raid means. Then it goes by creature what that creature's ability gets from the raid trigger happening.
Yep.
So Bloodsoaked Champion comes back from the graveyard.
The other one
black
makes a 3/4 bird. What other raid creatures were there that were like?
You get mana, you gain life.
There's that black warrior.
I guess
tokens.
I guess you guys are right. So there is just literally whatever text they want as long as you attack a creature this turn.
Pretty much.
Okay. That's pretty much it for spoilers, though. But that's a lot of shit that I was not expecting to talk about in this cast today. So.
Yeah, that was pretty a cool. lot of information. Not much opinion or laughs or genuine intrigue. I'm going to go hang myself. No, that was a magic-filled cast. And,
a little aggressive there, bud.
We had to make up for, not being so magical.
Well, this is a big week for Magic. A lot of announcements. We had to go over this shit.
So, right now, GP Vegas is going on, too.
Indeed.
This cast will probably come out a little bit later, but I mean, like, fucking we missed it. We're really sad about it. We wish we could be there. I wish I could just, like... steal all of Corey Neese's cards and burn them in a trash can and set up the fire alarm.
We can make that happen.
How are we going to do that?
Well, we know where he lives.
No, but we want to do it in Vegas.
Well, that's not a thing.
Because he's there. That piece of fucking garbage.
He can come back from Vegas and see all his cards
gone. Excuse for a human being. He spilled coffee on his lap today. It made me feel better.
He's going to piss himself.
So, just my general feeling from all the announcements going on from the past week is just... Because Wizards goes back on what they say, it makes me less excited about the new stuff they announce. Because I have less confidence that what they're announcing is actually going to stick around. That was my that one day of saltiness, that was my general feeling that it takes away from the excitement of announcements because it's like, oh, what, everything's going to change and... You know, 6 months or in the middle of the week, you know, something's
going to I think you
had
more than one day of saltiness because like, a couple days later, you messaged Morrow and Wizards on Twitter saying, hey, next year when shit's all fucked up, remember this goddamn article 2.0, whatever
the fuck it was
called.
The metamorphosis because he's like, oh, all these changes are going to fix this and this. And then what I'm saying is, A, when the community has a little backlash about whatever micro inconvenience they have for that hour, you know, don't go all batshit crazy and look back to this article on what you're trying to accomplish and don't abandon
Ignore
shit.
Ignore all the higher-ups and the pencil pushers and the fucking accountants and all this shit. Like, just stick, hold your fucking roll, dude. You know what I mean? Just keep your feet planted and just push through whatever people are saying until something really, really makes sense that you need to fucking make a change. But otherwise, like, just let it fucking go for a little longer, bro.
Yeah. I feel like, come on, Mauro. Even though with the current state of how we're not very trusting of their mistakes they've made, in general, let me ask you guys, do you feel like you trust that Wizards and Mauro has a plan, what they're trying to do, and that going forward, like, we may see something like this and go like, well, we probably planned it out for the next head to come in and take care of that. Do you guys feel that way? That in general, they have a game plan.
I think they always have a game plan. And so, the problem is that they don't stick to that.
That's what I'm getting at. Like, people need to fucking realize that they've spent years developing these sets. They're always 2, 3, 4 years ahead. They have a game plan of what they know what's coming this set. They know what's coming up the next set. Let the fucking things settle in and they'll figure it out and have some trust that they have a plan going on for it.
And if they
continue to fuck up, they don't have the fixes for the issues that they create these powerful cards, they don't have answers coming up, then sure, give them fucking hell. But in general, they have a fucking plan that they have a game plan. Well, people need to calm the fuck down.
They're willing to learn from their mistakes. When you look at the, you know, the little development articles or whatever, they talk about how they test things out, you know, for standard, and, oh, hey, we learned this lesson from this last
set.
We
talked about it, like, a couple months ago on one of our most informative casts that, like, it's so unique that a company will just, like, put it out there, admit their mistakes, and just totally give the honest truth. And companies don't do that. Companies always fluff it up with the next set and say, like, instead of, like, oh, here's what we corrected, it's more like, this is the best set ever.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, like, we changed this for this reason and because we, you know, whatever, whatever. They're really listening and they're really giving honest answers. Like, they're doing a fucking Reddit AMA about every goddamn set that comes out, and they're really giving the honest truth about what they fucked up and what they thought was great and all this shit, and that's really admirable. So good for them for doing that.
So hopefully after all these changes, the rough waters are going to, you know, even out, and all these naysayers
the sirens will stop calling, and so they'll stop crashing.
Fuck you, I was going to say. All the naysayers can walk the plank. Arr!
Oh, yeah. Hey, so I want everyone to interact with us more and really just have a good time with us.
Felt good. We had a listener fucking ask for a Knife's Grixis zombie list. I mean, it was just simple. It was nothing. It was just like, hey, guys, I'm waiting for that list to come out because it sounded fun. Like, that's cool.
When we were in our first 50 episodes, we got a lot more, here's my deck, what do you guys think, talk about it on the cast type stuff.
Yeah.
And now,
we're still we're very willing to do that.
Yeah, we're still willing to have segments on every episode, you know, what the community fucking wants, what they're talking about. You know what I mean? I want people to interact with us and have a good time with us, you know what I mean? And go follow us on fucking Twitter and not Facebook.
I wonder if they're afraid that we're going to make fun of them because we're kind of vicious.
We always make fun of them.
You're going to have to.
I know, but that's the point. Yeah, like, you're anonymous. We make fun of each other,
you're
too.
You're fucking kind of anonymous on the internet. Nobody really gives a shit. There's not any penalty. Say what you want.
You can even tell us, hey, don't put my actual like Twitter name or my real name out there.
No, I'll put your real shit out there.
I want them to interact and not be so scared.
We'll stop him. He will do it, but we'll stop.
we'll edit it out.
Yeah, go ahead and submit your Frontier and or Titan Leaders decks if you come up with a new spicy brews for that stuff.
Also, I'm in the middle of building a Seadreno deck for Modern.
Nice.
So we're gonna have that fun. I made the list. It's on my tapped out right now, and I'm excited. I mean, it's not gonna be tier one. I'm not doing the infinite combo. I kind of abandoned the idea of that. I'm just literally doing Modern Panharmonicon Blink deck and a Battlefield Effect deck. You know what I mean? Kind of like what I built in Frontier, but with way better mana because that Frontier deck is powerful as shit. But I always lose because I cannot fucking cast my spells.
So it's playing five colors.
It's five fucking colors.
With Shambling Vent.
It's super tough to fucking play that deck.
And I just made a new iteration of Sultai Elves for Modern. It's not by any means geared to be like, I'm going to try to like fucking be a tier one deck that can face tier ones and like be successful all the time or whatever. It's not pushed. It's more for fun. Like, my favorite Sultai card of all time is Villainous Wealth, and I am playing that for the mana sink.
Yep, you're fucking exactly ramping up. What are you gonna do with it?
And I'm playing Bet Call with it too, so just like, I'm gonna draw these cards, and like, when I like it can play a still basic Elves game, but I'm not playing Court of Calling to like search up other things, but I'm playing Panharmonicon as well. So when I Coco into Shaman of the Pack, I can still fuck your life up and win that way, all that shit. But dude, it is a lot of fun to Villainous Wealth.
Bet Call in Elves is fucking really good.
There's a reason Glimpse of Nature is banned.
Yeah, dude,
otherwise Elves would be a tier one deck.
He came over the other day and we had like a full, when we recorded the podcast last time, we had a full day of games or whatever, and like, I was like, Bet Call is fucking awesome, dude. This card, like, he was able to go off one of the games and draw like 8 or 9 cards for 2 mana and that was fucking.
Well, that was when we stopped because I could have kept going. Like,
yeah, the game, I picked up my cards. I'm like, listen, you're literally going to draw your deck right now. In modern, you're going to draw your fucking deck without having a lot of the standard cards that you would need for that. I don't know. It was pretty interesting. Yeah. I
between Nettle Sentinels, the Heritage Druids, and then continuing to get them and up the mana by three, then cast one creature for the one green mana, and then continue to draw more cards off of it. Because I also had double Panharmonica at that point too, so it was just kind of like, yeah, I could literally draw my entire deck and just.
I'll tell you though, I still really like my green black zombie list. I think it's still just like, it's just good, just a good deck.
It's a solid list.
I'm still excited that I, you know, paid the fucking the money for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, anything you building right now?
I actually just came up with a rough draft of a mono-colored commander list because I've been getting kind of... I've been wanting to, like, push the limits on commander.
Push it to the limit.
Push it to the limit. So I made a elemental list on Modo, but what I tried to do with it is make it not just, like, elementals and then the best cards in that color, you know, like... Cyclonic Rift and fucking blah, blah, blah and all that stuff. I tried to make it really theme-heavy, so a lot of cards that maybe necessarily aren't, like, the best, but at least I'm playing different fucking cards because, you know, you start to put together so many decks and you're like, okay, auto-include Cyclonic Rift, auto-include this, that, you know. So I tried to be more theme-oriented, and also with this mono-green deck I just put it on Tapped Out, I wanted to try and, like, push the limits and see how deep green is on what it can do. And it actually is one of the more deeper colors. I mean, I know, like, black, you can do almost anything as long as you pay a price. And, you know, some of the other colors dip into certain abilities. But when you look at it, I mean, green really expands the horizon when it comes to everything it can do. It may not be able to, like, necessarily just destroy target creature, but you have things like Beast Within, you have fight mechanics, you have, what the fuck is it called? Bramble Crush, you know, you can kill fucking artifacts and enchantments like nobody's business, you can ramp, you got big fatties, you can easily get shit from the graveyard when it's just mono green, and there's just a lot of stuff you can do. So it was interesting to kind of try and go as deep as I could just in one color.
I had one thing to bring up with the cast also is that maybe for Commander, as far as us all building another unique deck, is that we should do a budget Commander build, and each of us build a deck that every card on TCG Player has to be less than $1. Like, just has to be cheap. Like, no Soul Ring.
Yeah.
That's like $3. Like, just none of that stuff. None of the... You can't play the popular stuff. You can play Bramble Crush because that's fucking pretty good, and it's only worth 25 cents. So everyone just builds a deck that we can build very cheaply. You go online and you'll probably be $30 after everything on TCG Player for every fucking card in the set.
Does that include the commander itself?
Yeah, fuck yeah. It's going to be just like straight up just... It's not going to be the best decks we've ever built, obviously. It's going to be just utilizing cards that are not played because they're only 80% of the good card.
Right.
And we just do that for exclusive commander set that we only play those three decks, like our own little commander fucking cube, basically.
I'm down with
budget
that.
Budget cube for commander. So I think that we should do that, because that would be inexpensive, and we can build the decks fast and not be stressed out about spending a lot of money. So, yeah. You guys down? Maybe?
Good game.
So, yeah. Like I said, it'll be cheap. It'll be easy. And I'm sure they have budget commanders lists online already where you can utilize a lot of the cards. You know, the ideas people have already had, and still make something that's fun, but not insanely powerful and no infinite combo.
There's also a format called Penny Dreadful, and it's basically where every card is like a penny.
For Modo, yeah.
Yeah, for Modo. Mm. Obviously, not going to do that, but similar. It's
basically the same lines, yeah. I thought.
But gives us a little bit more leeway, so that'll be fun.
Yeah. So I'm thinking that'll be fun. That'll be a good time. And, I don't think anything else.
I think that's pretty much it. I want to fucking take my pants off and get out of this hot garage. So, and that's what this tied-up girl's been saying all week. So, that's it for this episode of If Lands Could Kill. You can find all our information in the show notes, whether that's social media or Twitch or Tapped Out accounts, deck lists, all that fun stuff.
Go leave a comment on our website under the podcast, or go to iTunes, or go somewhere. And leave fucking awesome comments and something funny and make fun of us and do awesome things.
Yeah. Or,
and then leave 5-star reviews.
Or go fuck yourself. You know, whatever. But that's it for this episode. I'm Knife City.
So, Crow.
And this is Hot Sauce.
And we'll check you guys next time.